Know what that means? You played way too much hacky sack.
The thing is, I never played hacky sack.
Yeah.
You're lying. You're lying.
Don't give me a yeah.
Lying.
No.
Why are you so defensive?
I hate the idea of hacky sack.
The very notion of hacky sack just really gets you angry. What's wrong with the institution of hacky sack?
Goddamn hippies.
Rise from your grave.
Friends, fans, loved ones, welcome to the supreme excellence of podcast Indestructible Art, episode 41. This is Ryan the Talent Adams, along with me, Omar MVP De Armas.
Hello, good sirs and ma'ams.
Yes, Omar. And then we have Evan, what is he still doing here? Campbell. Hey, Evan, what's going on, buddy?
Good day to you, sir.
Hey, so the three of us are here to talk about video games and comic books, but we are missing the fourth member to our Fantastic Four. He's kind of our Ben Grimm, right?
He's
all red. And
I think he told me something about going to Viridian City for a Pokemon tournament.
What? What's a Viridian City?
That's where all the Pokemons are.
Ah, is he? What are Pokemon Masters called?
Pokemasters.
Pokemasters.
So is Spencer a Pokemaster?
I believe so.
No,
he's
an aspiring Pokemaster.
Yeah, he's a trainer right now.
Oh, so he's...
A trainee,
yeah.
All right, so he's like a Padawan.
Sort of, yeah.
A Padawan of Pokey trainers.
You could call him a wannabe.
What do you think his Pokemon of choice is? Like, who's the first he brings out?
Charmander.
You think Spencer's a Charmander guy?
Oh, yeah.
Why?
He's got an affinity for it.
Are you saying just because he has red hair?
Because his hair is like fire and Charmander is a fire.
No. Spencer is a ginger. How about that? So yeah, Spencer couldn't make it this week because he's training his Pokeballs or something.
In Viridian City.
Yeah, in Viridian City.
He's playing with his Pokeballs?
I think I just said that. Can I say that on the show? I don't know. I always ask questions like, hey, should I use this curse word? And then like, most of them, you guys, yeah, it's okay. And then like I listen to the show and like it's on there and then sometimes I get beeped. I find that I'm the only one that ever gets beeped.
Yeah.
Right?
You're the only one flirting with that line.
There was a while where every intro, I was trying to make sure that it was one that had you getting beeped.
Yeah, I curse a lot. I try not to on the show because, you know what? We try to keep it clean for the kids. Right, Evan?
Keep it clean.
That was one of the rules when we started this podcast is, look, we could go the foul language route, but we decided, you know what? No, we're going to keep it clean.
You know, the cool kids listen to that stuff anyway. So.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's cooler not to cuss. How about that?
Yeah, we're above all that.
We're above F words and the S word. Anyways, episode 41. Welcome to the show.
Here we are.
If you're a new listener, thank you for listening. We like you a lot. If you're an existing listener, high five, big ups. Go rate the show, okay? Seriously, you haven't done it yet. We told you to at the end of every episode, go rate the show. You still haven't done it yet. So go do it after the show. We'd appreciate that very much.
And if you're a listener that's stopped listening, then screw you.
Man, I haven't seen you guys.
Yeah, you know, if you stop listening to the show, you probably don't hear me right now, but I'm going to say it anyways. You're really missing out. We had that awesome Dark Knight podcast last week, the spoiler cast.
Oh, I want to talk to you guys about that.
Oh, yeah? Yeah.
Well, I got a lot of compliments on our conversation, for one.
Oh, well, that's
good. Different friends.
Oh, that's nice to hear.
And but have you read all the negative reviews coming out lately for Dark Knight Rises?
I haven't read the reviews, but I'm not surprised in a way.
You know, the thing is, you know, Dark Knight was a pretty good movie, right? We all like Dark Knight. Everyone loved that Heath Ledger Joker. And this is a kind of a different kind of Dark Knight movie. I liked it. Everyone kept asking me if I liked it better than Dark Knight. I think I like it basically the same.
Really? What about better than one, Batman Begins?
I like all three kind of equally. They're like kids to me.
For me, they're in reverse order. Like, I like one the best, two second best. Three.
Really? Third the least. You like the third one the least?
Yes.
Wow, that's interesting.
You're crazy.
No way. There's a lot of...
I know you're into like pretty ripped dudes, so I thought like Bane would be like right up your alley.
Well, you never see his chest, so that's part
of it. Oh, there's a part where you see his chest.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you gave me that...
you saw that movie like three times already.
Yeah,
I saw it twice.
There was a part when like Bane stands up and like his chest is exposed, and you looked at me like, oh, dude, check that out. And I was like, why are you staring at me right now?
I think the only part I looked at you at is when he picked Batman up over his head.
Oh, yeah. Hey, spoiler alert.
Sorry.
There's some people who haven't listened to the spoiler cast or seen the show yet.
Anyways, if you haven't seen Batman...
Are we past the statute of limitations here?
No, absolutely not. If you haven't seen Batman...
Hey, no. Wait, is there a statute of limitations on spoilers?
I think it's like a year or something.
A year, you're crazy.
Okay, because here's the thing. I said something about Portal once, about, oh, I love the way Portal 2 ended. The moon! And everyone's like, dude, what are you doing?
Even saying that, it's still like...
Yeah, Portal 2 ends with
that game is so old now.
But look at Ryan. Like, there's somebody out there that's like Ryan.
No, there's no one quite like me, Evan.
who hadn't played Portal 1, and if I was like, oh, the cake, like blah, 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 and told him exactly what it was,
no, well, first off,
he would have been really bummed when he played the first Portal.
First off, the cake was a lie. Second of all, no.
Yeah, I don't know. I
think there has to be a realistic number here where you're like, okay, it's been, you know, let's say for a video game, we give it a little more than a movie, because a movie loses its like freshness and relevance, like what, after 3 weeks, 4 weeks?
Yeah, I'm thinking after 2 or 3 weeks, the people who really want to see it have already seen it. After that, it's just like,
I mean, after that, it's like whether or not it's even in theaters anymore is a question.
I say if it goes out of theaters, then it's fair game.
A movie like Avengers is still in the theaters.
Yeah. You know, how about this?
Well, don't spoil Avengers.
Starting next week, we're going to give full spoilers on things all the time.
I just have good etiquette. I don't go out of your way just to talk about like the most like crazy stuff that happened in the film. Like leave some spontaneity in there for people.
Portal 2 ends with
don't stop.
Don't stop. Keep
going. Don't stop. Don't stop. Don't stop.
So yeah,
don't stop. Just move your feet.
Don't stop till you get enough.
Oh, sorry.
You big Michael Jackson fan?
No.
Really?
He's all right. Anyways, The Dark Knight Rises. Has a lot of continuity flaws. There's a lot of things in there.
You know what? I was thinking
you're
about
scratching your head, and you're just like, oh.
No.
And there's so much more suspension of disbelief, and they built.
I agree with you there. There is a lot more in this movie that is a little more fantastical, which I wish they would have kept it a little more realistic, like the other two.
Yeah,
because it seemed like a very real movie.
The
like,
precedents they put forward, the expectations they created with those first two movies, were that stuff.
Well, I mean, in the second one, it got a little weird with like, that motorcycle stuff.
And that's why I don't like the second one as much as I like the first one.
I agree with you there.
Yeah.
But the continuity stuff, I don't remember. Like, I've been looking back at different things that you've mentioned, like the continuity was wrong here. Like, when Bane rescued him from the trial room and stuff, and then she sticks him in the... Why is that weird? Why wouldn't she go there and pretend to be... a captive still.
If the idea was vengeance, wouldn't they just grab him right away before he had?
No, but it was like
cut all of this out.
No.
First off, spoilers. Jeez, guys, come on.
Yeah. No, but the idea was that they wanted to keep everyone unaware of what was going on until it was too late.
That's right.
But even
See, I just gave away a crucial plot point.
Okay,
stop talking about it.
Yeah, we're probably gonna have to cut all this. But here, I'll break it down in a way that
I'll just
makes
beep
sense
every other word so people can't make any sense of it,
and it won't be spoiled. If you have an audience like scratching their head and saying like, "Hey, wait a minute," as an editor, as a director, you have failed.
Yeah,
like,
but no one did that. I didn't do that.
I didn't do that. Big time.
I didn't. Well, maybe you're not smart.
You even asked how a particular person got from one place to the other in such a quick amount of time.
Well, that one, yeah, but that was just like continuity. That was like poor choice on what they didn't leave in the script or something.
But then Spencer had to remind me that this is Batman we're talking about.
Yeah. Anything that happens in the movie, you can just rely back on that and say like, this is it's a superhero film. Like, this stuff doesn't have to make sense.
No. I think it's better than a superhero film.
Yeah, I wouldn't call this a superhero film.
No, I wouldn't.
You guys are just so much on the bandwagon, I guess.
No, it's hard to listen to reason. Well, here's the thing, Evan. Here's the thing is, I'm not on the bandwagon because I don't want any more Nolan Batman movies. I want a Batman movie that's closer to the comic. How about that?
Yeah, no, that's cool. I
want a world where Killer Croc and Mr. Freeze can exist inside that Batman cinematic universe.
Yeah,
I
want to
see a realistic interpretation of Killer Croc.
That's not a bad idea.
What do you think they would do?
We should pitch it to Warner Brothers.
Someone with some art skills should do a render of what Killer Croc would look like
Evan.
As a realistic human being.
Yeah. This guy is much, much better at art than I am.
Like even the Spider-Man movie, right? Like what the what's the Lizard Man? What
he
called?
Looked like the Goomba from the Mario Brothers
he
movie.
He looked like the Goomba from Mario Brothers movie for real. Why did they go did they have to go so extreme?
Because studios are dumb. That's right. I said it right here on Indestructible Art. This just in. Studios are dumb. Listen to the fans. Come on.
Anyways, Dark Knight Rises has a lot of questionable things in it with the pacing, with the editing, with the way the story is written that you don't find yourself asking during the first
Batman. Wow, I'm really glad you brought this all up on the spoiler cast.
Yeah, well, I tried, but, you know, somebody got really cranky.
Who got cranky?
Somebody.
Who?
Somebody in this room.
Who? Me?
Maybe.
I'm trying to remember if it was me. I don't feel like I got cranky.
Well, he keeps looking at, like, he's looking at you right now like you're the one who got cranky.
He's walleying you right now is what he's doing.
Like, this is what happened. Spencer and Evan would not stop talking trash on that Superman teaser. We're like, oh no, dude, it's a trailer.
Which was
poorly
edited.
I got to the point where I was just like, shut up, both of you. You don't know anything. I'm just kidding. You guys know lots of stuff, Evan. You drew a really rad picture of a dolphin bird.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's really fuzzy.
Evan's a really good artist.
Fuzzy.
Evan's a really good artist if you didn't know.
Oh, downy. I would call it downy.
It's downy, yeah.
Downy?
Because birds have down.
Yeah. Birds are down.
Down. Down with the...
You won't find them war horsing around.
Down.
Man, we're off on a tangent. Should we just bring the show back in?
All right, so this is the part where we talk about news and stuff that's going on in the video game and comic book industry. So we're going to go to video games first. Hit me, boys. Bring me some video game news.
It's a trap.
Are we talking about Ouya?
It's a trap.
I heard something on Ouya today on
the
radio.
There is some Ouya, but it's a trap. Sorry, GameStop. I almost did what Ryan did. I almost said GameSpot. The website, but GameStop, the retail outlet, is having a conference, an expo, where they're showing off a bunch of games and stuff. And usually, this is like an internal thing where they show it to other business partners and they demo like all the new stuff that's coming up. Kind of like
business partner or is like store managers. Actually know what they're talking about.
Yeah,
hopefully
it's that
which
sort of
doesn't work.
It doesn't happen. Doesn't happen.
Probably investors and stuff too, right? They want to show them that stuff, like say this is what we're selling at our stores and that kind of thing.
Who knows, man?
Yeah. So the weird secret world of business practices of a shady retail video game outlet. They're having this conference expo thing, and they're actually bringing consumers. So you can pay like up to $100 for a VIP pass, or I think it's like $25 for a regular pass to go in. And they're showing off a bunch of new games that aren't out yet. Nintendo will be there demoing Wii U stuff if you want to check it out. The only thing is it's in San Antonio, Texas.
And who wants to go there?
It's only one day.
You say it's a trap, but what here is a trap?
I don't know. It's just a joke. They're going to get everybody to come in and they're like, hey, do you guys want some magazine subscriptions? Can I interest you in some pre-orders?
some marked up aftermarket sales.
Hey, Ryan, can we interest you in another PS3 version of Skyrim?
Shut up, Evan. Okay, obviously I didn't do my homework, and I'm usually pretty good about doing my homework before buying a game, and I never go
That wasn't a dig on you. That was a dig on...
No, it wasn't a dig on me. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
How ambitious those guys are, and
first off,
frustratingly so they are.
GameStop is a place I don't really go to buy my games. But I got a gift card there for, like, Christmas? So I went, and I was like, I'm going to go check it out. Go buy some stuff. I'm going to go buy that Resident Evil Revelations from my 3DS, which was awesome.
What's this thing happening? Oh, it happens at the end of August. August 29th.
You know what I get really annoyed with? Because I go to GameStop to sell back old games and stuff because I don't like
Ooh.
To have...
Oh, and you're like, you're getting like $4 for them?
Well, not only that, do they give you barely anything for something that they're going to sell for $50, but they make the difference between store credit and cash so different. That you're stupid if you take cash.
You get sucked in.
Yeah, you have to take store credit, mm-hmm. and then you're locked in. I got like, you know, I take a bunch of stuff back. I get like $100 or something, and now I have $100 that I have to spend at that store.
They give you that fancy edge card,
and I don't want to spend $100 at that store.
Hey, do you guys
give you like percentages off of things if you remember?
Here's the thing: is with GameStop, I added them to my Deadpool recently, where I think they'll be dead, gone within 5 years. What do you guys think about that?
I don't know. I don't think so.
It seems like they're doing some pretty ambitious things to try and...
Like what?
Such as reselling used digital games?
Yeah, that was a story that I wanted to talk about, but Evan deleted it from my notes.
What?
they plan on selling back used digital stuff, which goes along with that court case and everything, like making maybe that's going to be possible here soon.
I call it grasping at straws.
And they sell Steam games now.
Do they?
They sell Steam... Oh, man.
Steam cards, though.
No, they sell stuff that goes straight into your Steam wallet.
I see.
And if you there's like... they do promotions where if you trade in things, you can get... Instead of just getting store credit, if you take Steam credit, you get an extra percentage or
Ooh,
something.
Ooh, that's dangerous.
Yeah, so they're working real close with a lot of different online retailer stuff. So I don't think they're going anywhere.
And don't they have a...
They're still part of my Deadpool. They'll be dead in 5 years. To the brick and mortar stores.
Don't they have an OnLive and a Gaikai? Or like one of those dudes is like partnered with them to start like also helping them offer digital services at some point?
I wouldn't be surprised.
I read a story a long time ago about them kind of partnering up with somebody, and then there was like an ad in Deus Ex games.
I wouldn't be surprised if I heard some online stuff, but Gaikai, I wouldn't think, because Sony needs to keep that a little closer
to their chest.
Yeah, for at least for now, until they figure out what they're going to do for sure with them. But OnLive seems to be popping up every which where they can right now.
Yeah, when I say death to brick and mortar stores, I know that's kind of mean. Just the games, GameStop. I really don't like
Best
them.
Buy. Get rid of Best Buys, I say.
I see Best Buy trying to do something different in the market.
What?
I just know that the Best Buy by my house, like, they split the store in half, where the other half is like a Best Buy and the other half is like a Pacific Sales warehouse, where they do at home like kitchen cabinets and stuff.
What?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Well, they were like offloading all that TV stuff to those Magnolia stores that were supposed to be super high end feeling, but really they were just selling you $200 cables.
If they get rid of all the Best Buys, where do I have to take all my recyclable batteries or the
dude, throw in the trash
and stuff.
Throw in the trash. So I do.
Donate that stuff to
donate it to the landfills.
No, the cell phone stuff you should donate to like those causes that take them overseas.
I gave all my old cell phones that I had to a Best Buy already, so that's not a problem. But old batteries you come across all the time.
That's not what I do. I take my batteries, put them right in the trash.
That sucks.
Are you not supposed to throw batteries away?
I don't think so. No.
Yeah, you're supposed to. They go to landfills.
Supposedly, battery acid
creates
super
jobs.
Harmful.
It creates jobs.
Cleanup jobs.
Wow.
Radioactive cleanup jobs.
And for the record, I didn't delete Omar's story. I moved it to the bottom. He didn't make an argument for it. Then I maybe might have deleted it.
It's not there.
Yeah. Well, there was a bunch of clutter left over after we went through everything, and so I was like, "We're probably this stuff probably is not going to make it." So I just cleaned it up.
So, hey, do you guys want to know when the big new DC 52 crossover is going to be?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. What's sure you be? Do. Well,
I think I still get confused when you say crossover or, like, event thing. Like, is that the same?
It's kind of the same.
Okay.
Sometimes.
So this is the next, what was the last big DC crossover event?
Well, the last big event would have to be the big, starting over from,
Well, that's different, though. Yeah, but what before that, what was the last X-Men versus Avengers?
For DC?
Well,
Flashpoint led directly into the new DC, and before that, we had the Darkest Night.
Oh, wow. So Darkest Night is still kind of relevant in that scene.
Yeah, yeah. So,
I feel like that's super old.
Yeah, well, it is. Well, DC hasn't really done any kind of big, launching with all brand new number one issues and kind of having a soft relaunch, that's a pretty big deal. We're getting the zero issues.
Got
next
me to
month.
Buy comics.
Yeah. Evan can't stop buying comics now.
I'm starting to buy comics.
You can't stop buying. This is great. This is why I'm on the shows.
Well, now so you need to start playing some video games and we can all talk about everything.
Hey, yeah. Listen, I've been playing a ton of Call of Duty.
Me and Evan are the only ones doing some work for this show.
First off,
don't talk to the talent that way.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah. Right, you can't treat the talent like that.
Yeah.
We'll be back with your sandwiches soon, too. Don't worry.
Jeez. Anyways, so we have the zero issues next month, but Dan DiDio over at DC basically said next September, on the 2-year anniversary of the DC relaunch, we'll be getting our big, huge DC crossover.
Do you think giving that much lead time is more promising, that they're going to do a good job, or that they're working hard, or like?
Well, I'm going to read a quote from Mr. DiDio. "We have a couple of plans. I love to be able to celebrate the anniversary of the new 52 with something that feels so special and something that unifies."
I like plans and I like special.
"Line thematically, maybe not story wise. We're leading to probably our first crossover event in the later half of next year, but you're going to see a better continuity developing through the line. Hopefully, through the zeros, we'll bring some clarity to our characters. There might be some questions on how they came to be in 5 years in the new 52 this week. What I'm hoping is everyone buys into what we've been trying to do and reintroduces people to some of the books they might have sampled."
It's kind of an interesting quote, all of that. He seems kind of even
this guy?
Hesitant.
Is he like the dude in charge over there?
He's basically the dude.
Did he also say, "And also we're going to make Teen Titans not suck anymore"?
He also said, "Evan, go get a life. Teen Titans is going to continue
to
suck.
It's full babies. It's full babies."
No, not the
dirty Starfire one. No, not
from I'm not talking about that one. That's the Red Hood and Outlaws.
Oh, is that? I thought that was Teen Titans.
No, nope.
Teen Titans is Scott Lobdell. Now, I like Scott Lobdell, right? His 90s X-Men stuff, he gets a lot of crap for it, but I love his 90s X-Men run. Seriously, good, fun X-Men stuff. I think it's better than a lot of the stuff that Marvel's currently putting out. But Scott Lobdell, ever since he came to the new DC 52, I was pretty excited about this. But man, he's done some things where I'm just like, really? What? The most offensive thing he has done is take the Tim Drake Robin character and just kind of screwed with his continuity a little bit.
In the Teen Titans book, you mean?
Or? Yeah, yeah. Basically, you know, I don't want to give too much away, but he's basically saying that Tim Drake was maybe never Robin. And I'm like, what? He was my favorite Robin. I mean, I do like that.
Why would he say he's maybe not Robin?
Because the continuity, the new DC 52, we got to do something different. I don't know.
But then why would he be the Robin of
Teen Titans? He basically just went from Tim Drake to straight to being Red Robin of the Teen Titans. He maybe never worked with Batman, which kind of conflicts with what happens in the first issue of the Scott Snyder Batman, where Tim Drake shows up as like all the Robins are all hanging out for a family photo. So get your facts straight. That's where I'm hoping this line from Dan DiDio, where he's talking about continuity, we're going to make sure things are better.
Yeah, tell us a little bit more about this crossover. What do you think it's actually going to be?
Well, we know that they've hinted at the Trinity War.
Three is good.
I know that's the big Justice League book, and I don't know how that's going to bleed over into the other books, but we'll see. You know, it could be the start of the Trinity War, and this is all next year stuff. But
yeah, when is Justice League going to start up again? You said that was something they were bringing back, leaning into something.
Well, the Justice League book is currently being published every month, but they keep alluding later on there's going to be a big Justice League, you know, centric crossover coming up. So they hinted at the free comic book issue from earlier this year.
Is that Justice League worth picking up?
You know, it started off kind of weird. Just because you got Jim Lee, who is one of my favorite pencilers out there. He's definitely an icon in the industry. And then you have Jeff Johns, who's a fantastic writer. You think with having these two A-listers on a big premier flagship book for DC that they'd just be hitting out of the park every month, right? It was kind of lackluster.
Those first two issues were real good, I thought.
They were okay.
But they were too expensive, so I stopped buying them.
Really?
They were the $1 more ones or something?
Yeah.
They're $3.99. But I felt the pacing was a bit off. But the last two issues have been really, really good.
Huh.
I think they're kind of getting their stride. But I know Jim Lee's leaving the book, so they're looking for another artist. And with a book like Justice League, look for an announcement. They're going to get a big big name on that book pretty soon. But I know Tony Daniel, who's doing Detective Comics, he'll be taking over, I think, issues 13 and 14 of Justice League. I like Tony Daniel. He's got a good art style. Not big fan of his writing, but as an artist, he's pretty good.
By too expensive, I mean the quality of the storytelling and what I was reading. What was like being matched by other books that were cheaper, and I was like, why?
So the value,
yeah, the value proposition was didn't seem.
I
right.
could see that,
yeah,
especially when there's some really rad books for like $2.99.
Like you put that up to next to like Batgirl or Swamp Thing or something, and it's like,
well, yeah, it's kind of hard to go up against those books, especially that Swamp Thing.
So why pay a dollar more when I could just read Swamp Thing or Batgirl?
Yeah, that's my next question. I was going to ask just real quickly. We don't need to go in depth on this, but now that we're a year into the new DC 52, what books are you still reading, Evan?
I'm still kind of waiting for them to pull up because to pool up, you know, so there's like a bunch of issues that I can sit down and read all at once.
Oh yeah. You're more of a trade kind of guy.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. But yeah, I'm waiting for Batgirl and Swamp Thing. I'll read, I'll probably get an Animal Man just cause you talk so much about it and you said that it does correlate with Swamp Thing. And
yeah,
so that's super
I think
interesting.
Animal Man's the biggest surprise still because, I didn't expect to love the book as much as I do. And Swamp Thing, man, so good. And just to throw it out there, Scott Snyder writes Swamp Thing too.
Yikes.
So
I was
take a drink, Jimmy.
I was thinking the Red Lantern stuff, like they were doing a lot of weird character development.
You know, Red Lanterns is quickly starting to fall off my radar.
Really?
It's been really uninteresting.
It seems unnecessary to have so many different Lantern books.
It just seems like all they do is they're hanging on the planet fighting with each other. I'm like,
well, they're angry,
something.
Man. They're angry.
I know you're angry. Go put that anger to use. Go beat up a Green Lantern somewhere. Come on.
Is there only Red Lanterns? There's no like Yellow Lantern book
full
right now?
Full spectrum.
I know, spectrum. I know that there's all the different colors of Lantern, but is there a dedicated Yellow Lantern book? Is there a dedicated Purple book?
No.
There's Purple and Blue, right?
Yeah. There's the Indigo Tribe.
Yeah, Indigo.
I like that name. Indigo Tribe.
Who's
blue? From the Hades.
Do they all have rings?
Yes.
Okay. Just checking.
Yeah, they all have rings. It'd be cool if like one was like, yeah, we have necklaces or anklets.
Well, that indigo one, or no, what's the sapphire one would have necklaces?
Oh, the star sapphires. Yeah. I see them having like anklets. That'd
anklets?
Be kind of cool, right?
No, chokers, man. Little choker chains or
is
whatever.
There a color?
Oh, what about bolo ties? That would be kind of cool.
What about bolo hats?
They could do that too.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So anyways, big crossover. Next year will probably be the 2-year celebration of the New 52, which I'm wondering when they're going to stop calling it the New 52.
I don't think they can. They can never stop calling it that, right?
Well, you know what? I'm going to start now. It's just the 52.
Okay.
All right. I'm not going to say New 52 anymore. 52.
I'll remind
that's like,
you.
That's like a New Super Mario Brothers getting the New Super Mario Brothers 2. Like, they can never not call it New Super Mario Brothers.
What
now.
Do they do after that?
New Super Mario Brothers 3.
New Super Mario Brothers?
Newer.
Right now would be new.
Newest.
And then it would be the new newest.
I mean,
or
when
they,
ready
they,
to,
they can go the
new year.
They can go the Bendis X-Men route, in which is the all new, all different.
Wow.
X-Men.
Is this where we're headed?
All new, all different.
This is dangerous.
No, well, what they'll do is they'll just go back classically. It'll just be Mario Brothers or Super Mario.
In fact, when we get to episode 50 of Indestructible Art, we're going to be all new, all different Indestructible Art. But you know what? Nothing's going to change because I'll still be here. Being totally awesome. Omar will still be over there pushing buttons and making sure the show works. And Evan will be here with his hair. Spencer will be here with his beard.
You're not allowed to cut your hair until you get to episode 100.
There is no limit to the places.
Those who want to know what Evan looks like, Evan has very long hair. He's kind of got this cool, like, Chuck Norris beard. Right? You see it, Omar? The Chuck Norris beard I'm talking about?
No.
Yeah. Evan's a very good looking guy.
I think really any Evan's. I can't.
Chuck Norris body is throwing me off.
Evan doesn't have the body of Chuck Norris. I'll throw that out there right
definitely
now.
Definitely not.
But who does?
Dude, how dumb was it that Chuck Norris is going into that new Expendables movie?
You mean how awesome is it?
Yeah, what are you talking about awesome?
I'm going to have to agree with Evan on this one. How
Jeez,
awesome is
man.
That?
Oh, man. You guys are... You guys,
did you not like Expendables?
I never saw it.
What?
I am not going to spend money on that. That is not something
this
I'm willing to give my money.
This podcast is over.
I am not going to give that
Done.
Any money to
Why?
Get further.
Why? Why?
Get the rope.
Yeah, go get a rope.
No, man, you got to take pride in your old action hero heritage.
Check this out, Omar. I am a child of the 80s, man. I grew up watching 80s action movies. Like, when I woke up on Saturday mornings when normal kids would go watch cartoons, I had, like, this mixed VHS tape my uncle made me, which had Nightmare on Elm Street, Commando, and Led Zeppelin's Song Remains the Same. And I'd watch it every single Saturday. And Commando was the first time I ever saw female breasts, ever.
And you got to see that every Saturday.
Every Saturday. But the thing is,
Is that the only reason you watch that every Saturday?
No. I grew up with Schwarzenegger and Stallone and watching them do...
Dude, I loved Rambo.
The Rambo and Rambo 2. I went as Rambo.
I used to have one of those
Halloween.
Little Jade Buddha necklaces.
Me too. I had the rocket launcher. I had the headband. I would go around with my shirt off. With my long brown hair, and I was literally thought I was Son of Rambo.
Do you see that movie, Son of Rambo?
Yeah,
so
it was
good.
Great.
So good.
So seeing all these old timers come back in Expendables gets my heart pounding, man. And I was there opening night for Expendables, and I know everybody hated it, but I loved it.
But it's so cheesy.
That's why you go see it. You
but it's not even like the real cheesy. It's
even
like,
if you just go to see it and shake your head and be like, man, what are you doing?
Dude,
why are you doing that?
They
what,
got
what
Bruce Willis
on?
And Schwarzenegger and Stallone in a church. Together for
yeah, but,
a movie,
but like,
Holy
why?
Christ.
Why is Jason Statham or whatever?
Because
why is
he's
there?
Bald and he's cool. You see that movie Snatch?
You see that movie Transporter?
Yeah, those Transporter movies are fun. Snatch is amazing.
Cranked?
Yeah.
Come on,
Crank,
Crank,
Crank 2.
Cranked is a different movie.
High Voltage.
And a completely unrelated note: there's an awesome art gallery going on in LA this week. On Friday, it opens. It's an exhibit dedicated to 25 years of Street Fighter, and it's being hosted by the studio called I Am 8-Bit. I'm not actually sure what to call them. They're like a group, and they do a bunch of random stuff.
They're like a
collective?
Yeah, like a collective,
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And they do really awesome stuff, and they put up some super awesome art exhibits. And so
do they have a dedicated gallery? Or
they do.
They
do now,
they just
yeah.
rent rooms for a month?
No, they have it. They have a building, and it's near. I want to say it's near Culver City or near Hollywood. It's over there. I don't know, man. I'll know when.
Is Culver City near Hollywood? I don't think that really.
I
jives.
Don't think that makes sense.
I think there's a lot of cities in between.
Yeah. Sorry.
Well, you know, the thing
I've
is,
been there once, but I don't remember where it was.
The thing is, if you're listening to the show from outside of California, everyone thinks like Hollywood's next door to everything.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to go.
Literally, from where we're doing the show right now, if we look out the window, we can see the Hollywood sign.
No, we can't. We can see a bunch of dogs.
Right there. It's kind of
we can see. Yeah, we can see the beach, the Hollywood sign,
and movie stars.
Yeah, and
celebrities.
And the Walk of Fame.
The Walk of Fame. And the big King Kong thing from Universal Studios.
Right.
Yeah, I almost tripped over that on my way here.
Anyways, that thing's going to be sweet. I think Omar and I are going to try and make it out to the grand opening and maybe put together like a mini podcast for that. Ryan, if you can make it out, you're more than welcome.
I probably
to
won't
join
be
us.
There, but I'll say I will.
You got to work probably, yeah?
Yeah, I always got to work.
That's
sucks,
a bummer, dude.
Right? I got to pay the bills.
But we'll put something together that's awesome, and you could listen to it, and it'll be like you were there with us.
Yeah, we could do something like that.
We'll figure something out.
We're going to let's put the try to do something like that because nothing is set in stone right now.
I'm going.
Don't make
sure.
Promises.
I'm going for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you for sure going to New York Comic Con?
Yes.
That's right.
That's happening.
Yeah. And you're going to be a representative in Indestructible Art, correct?
Yeah. I'm. You guys should maybe start putting together a list of questions that you want from different people.
I think we did.
If I can hopefully.
I think we already did that. Remember? If you listened to the pre-roll on two episodes ago, I think we put together a list of questions for you to ask.
Wow. Great. I'll reference that.
So I got some bad news.
What's your bad news?
I'm pretty bummed out about this, actually.
What are you bummed out about?
I mean, I was really bummed out when I read this.
What are you really bummed out about? What you read?
Besides Gus Snyder, who's my favorite writer, Evan? Come on, you know this. He's bald.
Grant Morrison? Oh,
yeah.
No.
Yeah, Grant Morrison's bald, too.
Okay.
You know how I feel about those bald writers? Love them.
You might need to seek help.
No, I just got this thing that the best comic book writers in the industry are usually the ones that are follicly challenged.
Carry on.
Have hair. My buddy Grant Morrison has decided that he was going to be leaving DC. When I say DC, he's leaving Action Comics, which I've enjoyed. It's been weird. His Action Comics, but I've liked it. It's been a little,
so Superman.
Little corgy. Yeah, Superman.
Yeah.
And he's going to be wrapping up his run on Batman Incorporated. For those who don't know, Grant Morrison really took a really different kind of spin on Batman over the last like 6 or 7 years, and it's been pretty wonderful ride. Kind of seems like he has left it in capable hands with Scott Snyder, who's doing a bang-up job over there on Batman. But the fact that Grant Morrison is going to be walking away. Now, he still has his big multiversity story planned. And he's working on a Wonder Woman. I'm not sure if it's a series or a miniseries, but he knew something with Wonder Woman. But he is going to be stepping down from his superhero comics, and looks like he's doing some more creator-owned books. So, yeah, look for 2013 to be the last run of Grant Morrison's superhero stories for a while. I have a feeling he'll come back.
So he's going out to do his own thing, or?
Yeah, and they usually do that, you know.
Can these dudes like come and go to these big publishers as much as they want? They have carte blanche like that? Like,
yeah, when you're a name like Grant Morrison, you can do whatever you want. You can basically, you know, you can call the president of any one of these companies and be like, hey, I want to come work for you. I'm Grant Morrison, and I got this crazy story that involves superhero orgies and drug use. And
yeah, but cool. I mean, like, say this happened. Like, oh, I'm working on Batman Incorporated, and I'm going to leave. And then they get pissed at you. And then you come back and be like, 3 months later, be like, hey, I want to do this book. They're going to say yes?
Well, maybe not 3 months later. And I can't see Grant Morrison actually stopping and then like coming back like 3 months later. I can see him taking a break from superhero comics for about, you know, 5 years and maybe wait till he has a really good idea and then come back.
Wow, that seems like a long time.
Yeah, but, you know, he's been doing comics since the 80s. So, I mean, he kind of comes and goes as he pleases. But good luck to my boy Grant Morrison. You're my, you know what? I wouldn't say my second. Grant Morrison's one of my top favorite writers of all time. I can't say second. I can't put these guys in like some kind of numerical order. Especially when it comes to the bald ones. Because, like, they're all equal in my eyes.
They're all equally bald.
They're all equally bald and all equally
But that's
awesome.
Not true. People are not equally bald.
Yeah, well, you're not bald, so you can't say that.
That's their term.
What do you mean, their term?
Nothing, Ryan.
Wow. Why do you got to go there?
Sorry.
You think just because you have this giant mound of hair on your head. Seriously.
Evan does have very manly looking hair.
He looks.
Why? Are we talking about my hair on the podcast?
He looks like Simba from Lion King. I'm not even kidding.
Because you need to get a haircut, you hippie.
I'm not getting a haircut.
You need to do something with it.
Deal with it, Shades.
Or you need. Did you just call him Shades?
No, I said deal with it, Shades. Like this. You put the shades on.
Oh, Evan's putting on his sunglasses because he doesn't realize that we're on radio. So yeah, Grant Morrison, he does have some work coming out. He's got his image book, Happy with Derek Robertson, which will be coming out pretty soon. And he's got the big Grant Morrison con. So I think he's going to do just fine without DC. Maybe he'll do some Marvel work. Maybe go back and do some X-Men stuff. We'll see.
Huh.
Nintendo posted a quarterly loss, and Omar's got the scoop.
Yeah, so it's kind of like a mixed bag right here. Nintendo posts loss again for the quarter. $220 million loss this quarter.
I'm confused because I saw on other sites that they said it wasn't that much.
But that much?
Yeah. I don't wonder what the number actually is, but it's somewhere between 137 million and 220 million. And
wow, that's the bid. That's the other number you saw was 137.
Yeah, that's the other one I saw.
I didn't see anything
it was like
but
Venture
this
Beat
number
or something was saying that.
I got this from Giant Bomb.
Yeah.
But
Patrick Klepek's usually on it.
The other half of this story is that 3DS is finally selling for a profit.
Hey now.
Like, it just happened this week.
What?
Something happened. Something turned the switch got flipped, and now they're selling for a profit, and hey. They just put out the XL, just started selling this last week.
Hey, is the Vita still being sold at a loss?
I'm sure.
Is the In Vita, your wait, face, wait, no, Evan. No, no, no. In your face.
The better question is the Vita still being sold?
Yeah, that's a pretty good question.
Honestly, without trolling you too much, what was the last time you when was the last time you picked up and turned on your Vita?
When I went on that trip, the last time I was gone.
And you played what?
To get with me.
What did you play?
More of what I have already, the PSP games.
When was the last time you bought a game for it?
Since launch?
Know, 2 trips ago. So Patapon and... I haven't bought anything. I'm really just waiting for...
I don't think
for...
there's been anything that's come out.
I'm waiting for Guacamelee
like the last month and a half.
Sound Shapes, yeah. I mean, you could say something similar about 3DS.
No, there's been 3DS games like every week.
But are they good?
Yeah, they're amazing.
I heard that...
How are they amazing?
They're like the best things I've ever seen in my life.
You guys haven't bought 3DS games since Kid Icarus.
I didn't even buy Kid Icarus.
Exactly. So I've bought Vita games more recently than you guys have bought
listen,
3DS
listen,
games.
Listen, so I've been really busy with Call of Duty, okay?
Have you really been playing that?
Yeah.
Man.
You want to join my clan?
I'm really surprised.
Yeah, I started up a clan.
Really? What's it called?
VGAN.
I'm out.
VGAN. Find me.
What?
Join my clan.
Your vegan Call of Duty posse?
Yeah, what's up?
That's pretty cool.
What you know about that? You don't know nothing. Shut up.
It has to be V3GAN.
How do you feel about
animal? V3?
Yeah.
Why?
Because it looks like an E.
How do you feel about animal cruelty?
I hate it.
All right, I'm back in, I guess.
I hate animal cruelty. Every time I see one of those ASPCA commercials come on, like I want to punch my TV and I cry the whole entire time. It's so mad.
Those are the saddest commercials in the world.
How do you feel
about...
Then
I got my girl Sarah McLachlan on there. I'm like, man, isn't she like the coolest person to ever live? You guys like Sarah McLachlan?
I don't know who that is.
What?
She's the lady in all the Sad Puppy commercials.
Yeah. She also released this brilliant album called Surfacing. Oh my god, so good! And she's a lot,
I'm afraid to ask.
She does a lot of Lilith Fair stuff, but I like her. I think she has a heart.
My question is: the XL just started selling, right?
Yeah,
like it just came out this week. It's for sale now,
right?
Are they selling that for a loss?
That's a good question. And normally, the way hardware sales works for console stuff, at least in the past, you know, these large companies, they put out a huge bid on all the components and what it's going to cost to build the machines. And over time, the components actually get cheaper. And that's when you're able to see like big price cuts.
Right.
And, stuff
and
like
that's
that.
How it normally is, but not normally for Nintendo. Nintendo, right. Except for the 3DS, has always sold things for a profit from day one.
Right.
I wonder if this is going the 3DS route where they're selling it for a loss because they can't charge too much for it.
Yeah.
It's only like $50 more than the
I can't
regular.
Imagine the components are too much different. I mean, there is some different stuff in there and the battery is a little bit better.
Yeah, the battery's got to be like twice as big.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's hard
to say.
It's
only $50 more than the smaller version.
It's really scary to me because we're at a time where I really don't know what Nintendo's doing. And it's kind of odd.
Have you ever known what Nintendo's doing, though?
I mean, you kind of do. Like, you get the picture, and at least you have the security of knowing, like, they know what they're doing. But recently, it's
well, yeah.
All
you get you
apart,
you give them the benefit of the doubt, right?
Yeah,
where you're confident that they have it figured out.
I give it the benefit of the doubt to anybody, but right now, and this is going to sound weird. I feel like Microsoft is the only one who feels like they know what they're doing. Like Sony always surprises me with some decisions that they make. Nintendo more is like what, and it's weird for me because I'm not a big fan of Microsoft. But don't they seem like the only ones who kind of know what they're doing lately?
The only ones still making money.
Yeah, that's
so they're
true.
Doing something, right?
They're the only company, right? And that happened last week. They're the only company that turned a profit for the quarter or something.
And they're selling a whole lot of these 360s. They're doing a pretty good job.
They're still selling them, yeah. The last chart I saw, yeah, 360s were outselling everything pretty much everywhere.
And
yeah.
You know what? I went to a store earlier that had a kiosk and multiple kiosks. There was a Vita, there was a PS3, you know, there was a Wii. Everybody was at the 360 kiosk.
And they're not doing huge numbers, you know? Like,
everybody was there.
They're
like,
not
well, the thing's been out for like 12 years now. What's going on?
Yeah, I mean, there's no way they're going to do huge numbers.
We're at the end
saturation,
of a cycle,
yeah, the
yeah.
saturation point has to be. People that are still buying, or people that are buying 360s now, are buying their second or third 360.
I saw on one of the stories that I read that like Nintendo's experiencing this lull because they're at the end of the console cycle and they've announced their new thing, but what have they done with all that Wii money they were sitting on? Like, where did that go?
Yeah, they, I mean, they...
What happened?
That sold like bananas, right?
Yeah.
Like bananas.
Bananas.
Or pancakes.
Hot but cakes. And then what do you think is going to happen when the Wii... Is the Wii coming out this year or next year?
This year.
The Wii U.
This year, yeah.
They,
this year.
So they have
holiday season.
They have like 4 months to put that thing out.
I thought you had your pre-order in place.
No.
What?
No,
yeah, you guys were talking a big game months ago. You're up, all, Evan.
Hey,
yeah, you know what's happened since then? I played the Wii U.
Yeah. Zing. So those who don't know, that Omar actually went to E3 on behalf of Indestructible Art.
Because Evan went to E3 and not on behalf of Indestructible
Art.
Well,
he was there on behalf of game trailers. And
I don't know. On the last day, I did a lot of on the behalf of Indestructible Art, unbeknownst to.
But Omar was there, like the doing it. You know what I'm saying? Like, Omar was like, there, like, in the trenches.
I guess so, yeah.
And Omar got to play the Wii U. And me and Omar were like, we're pretty excited about this. And Omar came back and was like, dude, this thing sucks. Like, what? Oh, man.
I told you guys that before E3.
But we don't like listening to you. That's the problem.
Yeah, I'm bummed out about that.
Well, I got some more news for you to be bummed out of on. So after Grant Morrison basically announced that he's done with Action Comics and Batman Incorporated, Indestructible Arts 2011 Comic Book Personality of the Year, Rob Liefeld.
Oh, yeah, I remember that guy.
Yeah. You love Rob Liefeld.
I don't know who he is, but
Spencer does too.
Name some recent works.
You got
Rob
vote.
Liefeld, he did Youngblood. He was a big force in the extreme comics of the 90s, like Image. Well, I should say he had extreme comics. Yeah, anyways.
I think I like him a little bit less.
Why? Because the other word, extreme, was the name of his studio.
Yeah.
He did a bunch of books. He's a creator of Deadpool.
Oh,
everyone loves Deadpool.
I'm back in.
And so with the DC 52, that's right. I said not new 52. Ah, in your face, Evan. So in the DC 52, he's been kind of...
But now you're going to have to put something in the place of the word new, and you're going to pick a different word every time. Like right now you said DC 52.
Yeah, the DC 52.
And then you're going to be like the Nuevo 52 or the whatever.
All it's right,
like,
well, okay. Well, I'm proud to do that too.
How about the Soggy 52?
So it turns out Rob Liefeld's going to be leaving.
Let's turn this thing.
Rob Liefeld is leaving the DC Soggy 52.
That's a bummer.
So right now, it
won't be as soggy without him.
What is happening over at DC that these two big writers are deciding to quit?
Well, I wouldn't say Rob Liefeld's a big writer. I'd say he's definitely a really interesting talent inside the comic book industry. I like Rob Liefeld. I think he's a rad dude. He did a Levi's jean commercial back in the 90s.
What?
Yeah. Like Levi's jeans, you know? Like,
yeah, but why? What does that have to do with anything?
I don't know. It's pretty cool if you can do that and do comics, right?
What? Describe the commercial to us.
Yeah, it was like him talking about comic books and talking about jeans.
I watched that.
Yeah, like button your fly or something?
Something like
that.
Something
from the 90s. Who knows? So currently, Rob Liefeld has been co-writer on Savage Hawkman, Grifter, and the writer-artist on Deathstroke. Three books that I do not read that actually dropped.
If you like comics, you like jeans.
Well, yeah. I think if you like jeans, you like comics. If you like comics, you're probably a big fan of jeans. I like jeans.
Do you like jeans, Omar?
I've never seen Omar in jeans.
Because it's too hot.
Really?
No, but I mean, it sucks that jeans are like pretty much the only option we have for pants, right?
Yeah.
Well, there's other options. You can go with like a khaki.
Yeah, like what I'm wearing.
It's
not exactly khaki, but
you can borrow a pair of Evan's capris. He's got a couple of those.
I got some hot yoga pants you can have.
Oh, awesome.
They're well worn.
So, yeah, it seems like Rob wants to go back to his roots and do some like indie work, but it's still a ways off. 2013, like for Rob Liefeld to be departing.
Holy cow.
So,
that's next year.
I feel like 2013 is going to be the year of the exodus for a lot of big names out there. And I think me and Spencer talked about this on the show before, where you're starting to see some big names go to Image or Dark Horse or IDW or some of these smaller places where they can do creator-owned stuff.
So is that the crucial point where everyone wants to own their content and they're not getting that at DC, so they're gonna move?
Yeah, I can see that. And same thing at Marvel. When you get the big two, you know, you're kind of playing the corporate sandbox with your, you know, it's not your toys. You got to put them away when you're done. But if you know you're Grant Morrison, you want to tell a really rad story and not worry about, you know, the suits getting involved, you go do your own stuff somewhere else.
Can they not, like, come up with an original idea at DC or Marvel and end up owning that? Or is it always going to have to fit into the predetermined DC mold?
I think DC owns it, but they do get a profit sharing. I read somewhere this week with the release of Dark Knight Rises that Chuck Dixon and Graham Nolan.
Okay.
They're seeing some money come their way from Dark Knight Rises, which is, they're like, wow, this is pretty cool. Yeah, we created Bane. You know, no one asked us if Bane could be in the movie, but yeah, they're giving us money, which is great. And Chuck Dixon says it's been fantastic. DC's always been really good about kind of giving money back to them. I think DC learned a thing or two from the 80s with the whole Alan Moore thing, and they're still, you know, none of these companies are good about giving money back to the original creators, but it seems like maybe it's a step in the right direction. I don't know. I don't know too much about it to really have like an informed opinion on it.
In the digital era that we live in, it seems almost crazy to me that you wouldn't publish your own stuff. Like,
yeah,
the cost that it must be to maybe like publish server or something where people can download your books from.
But at the same
whatever,
time,
like, but that is like the reason you go to like a big company is the cost of entry is so huge
is
for
it?
Like printing and distribution and.
But if let's just say you're not.
But
do
even
print.
Digital, like to get into a marketplace, you probably have to give that marketplace a ton of money. Like, there's no way Comicsology is going to be like, oh no, just you know, you're totally indie book or whatever, and we don't want any of the profits from it. Like, here, just put it up on our service. That's not how that works, probably.
Do you think like for iBooks, because I know that's pretty cheap to publish your own books there and stuff.
I don't think curated. It is.
I mean, it's cheap compared to like maybe like paying a license to patch your Xbox Live game, right?
Well, yeah, but I mean, who knows? Like, because Apple's always going to take their 30%, and who knows what the cost of like, you know, for them to verify your addition to the iBook store,
right?
Like, I think the Kindle or Amazon had that thing where it was like Kindle singles, right? And they were like all these little tiny books that people were putting out super cheap. They ended up being like, oh, for 50 cents, get this Kindle single.
Sure.
And maybe that is more realistic, but that platform doesn't really lend itself to comics very well.
It seems like in the world of YouTube that there's got to be some service that eventually comes together where it's for like hosting awesome indie books or indie games, whatever it may be.
Yeah, but didn't like, you know, like 2 months ago Ryan was saying like there was one that shut down and all those people.
Yeah,
but weren't they at like a physical publisher as well then?
No,
they were the digital only guys, right?
Yep.
Interesting.
Yeah. I don't think you can just step into any one of these marketplaces. I think you need a lot of money behind you, and that's the reason that DC and Marvel still exist, because if that wasn't the case, of course, people would be doing it on their own. You know,
well,
like
DC,
nobody wants
yeah.
to be owned by anybody else.
Yeah, and the thing is, DC and Marvel exist because people want to write Batman stories and they want to tell Superman stories. You know, listen, now I'm not a comic book writer by any means.
Sure.
You know, but I've been writing and working on some stuff. If someone called me up from DC and Marvel and said, hey, do you want to work on one of our books? I'd be like, well, hell yeah, that'd be great. I'd love to do a Batman story someday, right?
Okay.
Why not?
Sure.
But at the end of the day, you know, I'm still dealing with somebody else's character where, you know, I got some cool ideas I want to do. So, you know, I'm going to do my Batman story, make some money, you know, create a name for myself.
So you're saying to have access to those licenses, to create
yeah.
with those familiar characters
well, and
is
that
kind of
audience
what's cool
too,
about.
Man.
Okay.
Like, you know, if you get on a big book and you're pretty good at it, you can get a, you know, loyal fan base, right? And then so if you say you move on to something else and you do a pretty good job at it, they're going to follow you.
I can't help but think about like punk rock music and like Revelation Records and all kinds of small indie record labels that started and that are now big. Because they kind of did what Omar's saying is like, if you don't have a record deal, you know, who's ever going to listen to your stuff? But that stuff did just fine. Like DIY stuff does just fine. And especially now that the tools are more readily accessible to the public, it seems to me like something should exist where it's easy to get access to that stuff.
Yeah, I agree.
And to,
I just
like,
feel
publish
like
and,
if it
there
did,
should be communities out there that exist for this. And
yeah,
we probably just don't know where they are or who they are.
But yeah, but if they did exist, wouldn't you think they would have gotten way more attention by now?
Maybe. I don't know. It's hard to say.
Like, I was talking to Brad, and
yeah.
Brad is way into, like, the indie zine place.
It's
like
yeah.
it's
there's
like all these little DIY, yeah, little paper things. And I guess it's like there's a lot of bookstores up there that you bring in
Portland.
A stack of things that you, that
Seattle,
you've, like,
sorry.
Photocopied yourself, right? And they sell it for you for, like, a dollar or whatever. But, like, that's all that is. It's like photocopied, real cheesy little pamphlet things that people put together and staple.
Yeah, do yourself.
Yeah, but I mean, if that's all that they can accomplish, how there's got to be, you know, if there were something where they were getting more quality and better betterly produced items that they could sell on their own, we would have definitely heard about it.
I don't know if definitely, but I bet there's something
out
there.
No, I agree with Omar. We are in the know. When you know everything, we would have heard something about this by now. So anyways, big ups to Rob Liefeld. He went on to these DC books, and he tried his best. He's on some books that are not selling that well, and he's trying his best. So big ups, Rob. Good luck to you in the future. I think you're awesome. You were our 2011 comic book talent, or comic book personality of the year.
2011.
Because you're so funny. And you wear jeans while you're doing your comics.
Video game streaming service OnLive has been confirmed to be partnering up with Ouya.
I'm going to keep calling it Ouya.
I went back and watched the video on Kickstarter just to double
Ouya.
Check.
It's definitely Ouya. Ouya. Yeah. It's O-O-H.
It's O-U, actually.
No, but I mean, when they did like the phonetic spelling,
oh, really?
It was O-O-H-A-Y-E-A.
But in the video, the lady who's the spokesperson for the product says...
Yeah. So, ooh, like O-O-H is ooh.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I would just say it's oh, right.
I think O-H is O.
Yeah.
Ooh, because you put two vowels together and it becomes the other sound.
So you're sending a text message and you want to say like, oh, what do you put?
You put O-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H.
Really? Doesn't that just look like, oh?
No, it goes, oh.
You guys sound ridiculous right now, by the way.
Anyways, OnLive is going to be provided on that box, which is $100.
Yeah, so here's the thing, right? It's $100 for the oh yeah, and $100 for the OnLive box proper. Which is the better system here?
Well, first off, which one has the better name? You gotta think about that, Omar.
I don't think does the other one have a name besides OnLive?
The OnLive box. I don't.
Boring. And besides, I was listening to Tech Guy with Leo Deporte. You guys ever listen to that?
No. I used to.
Yeah, I like Leo Deporte. He's a cool guy.
What's he saying?
He was talking about Ouya today.
What does he say about it? What does the public think of Ouya?
He's not the public.
Yeah, he's not the public. He's a really rad tech guy, though. I listen to his show every week.
He's kind of got the wrong opinion on a lot of newer things.
But
though.
It's on the radio, right?
What? No, you out of your mind.
Oh, no, it's not.
No, he's on the radio. I listen to him on the radio.
Yeah. Is he still on the radio? I thought he got kicked off the radio. He does his own little published thing.
No, he does.
So what's he telling the public about Ouya?
I just thought he was talking about the Kickstarter program for it.
Okay.
And it was just the most successful Kickstarter, like, ever.
What? No.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
I mean, when I looked at it, it's like 5.7 million or something right
more
now.
More than that, dude.
No, I think that's right.
Way
I don't know what the number is, but I know that it is done better than... what was the next one next to that? I think it was like 3 million or something.
Well, they were asking for 900,000, and then they broke like a million on the first day or something.
Right.
Yeah. I think it's closer to $20 billion, Evan. I think they can buy their own country now.
You're out of your mind.
I think they're like at least a few million dollars ahead of place number two for the most money raised.
Okay.
So they're like a couple million ahead of everyone else.
How are you guys feeling about this thing this far out? There's 10 days left to, you know, get your...
It's not done yet?
It's not done yet.
No.
There's like nine.
They're
going to
make so much
left.
Money. Did you?
How many people did
you contribute to it?
I did not.
I didn't back it yet. I still don't know.
How many people did they let contribute to it?
I didn't look.
Because like, if they're up that much money and it was only $99 to get one...
Well, they have
that means that they
tiers.
Sold how many units? The people who backed the thing are never going to get one. Think about how long it's going to take for them to produce that many units.
But think about how well they actually know how many they need to make.
That doesn't change anything. No. I think they have a certain capacity of a production, right? And they're only going to be able to produce like X amount of units per day or per month or whatever.
I think what you were saying before was a little bit inaccurate. That the console is done. Like, they're basically done and they're just like need the money to whatever to ship it. From what I understood, they still have like a lot of mock-ups and a lot of like stuff.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they're still designing the controller.
Totally done. So there's still time for them to say like, hey, we need at launch this many units. And
yeah.
I think Kickstarter's probably a good barometer.
Here's the thing is, when I was listening to Leo Deporte, the tech guy today, he was talking about Kickstarter stuff and how many Kickstarters there really are and how many like he's contributed to. And so far he's gotten nothing, even though all these companies have met the deadline. He's waited, and he's like, the only thing I ever got was a gift I got for somebody, and it was something I didn't even buy for myself. But
yeah, I've done a bunch of different Kickstarters. The only one that I've actually received anything from was a long time ago, like at the beginning of Kickstarter, there was a little lens clip for your camera called the Olo clip, and that took, for me, from the end of the Kickstarter campaign to me receiving the product was like 3 months.
What is the status of a lot of the other things? Did all of them make their goal to get backed?
Yeah, I've probably got like, I want to say like five different things that met their goal are in production now, I guess, and I haven't seen a single thing in the mail.
It's all going to show up at your doorstep one day? Or yeah, your neighbor is just really pumped with all the cool stuff he's getting.
This is funny. Like Justin McElroy, right, had a funny quote. It was like, I love Kickstarter because it's things that I want to have now, but 3 months away. Or it was like things that just show up at my house and I have no idea what they are. It's like, well, what is this box? It's like magic now because I've forgotten all the things that I ordered haven't gotten.
I've been actually thinking about starting my own Kickstarter, guys.
For what?
I think it's let's buy Ryan a house in Maui. I decided that I'm probably going to need like $2.2 million.
What are the perks?
Need more than that. Yeah.
The perks is if you donate $1,000, you get to come to Hawaii and hang out with me at my new house for like a weekend, and we'll do some like surfing and some snorkeling, and like I'll read you comics, and I will act out the panels.
That's pretty cool.
For $1,000, for like $20,000. I will do all that stuff, plus I will make you food, and I will do other things, like play Halo Reach with you.
You keep saying other things, and you're reaching for something that's not dirty. I could see it in your head.
I am trying to keep it clean.
Do you guys have other questions about...
For $100,000, you get Evan Campbell.
Just come to live with you. He stays in a small box.
So to go along with my question before, is like, which of the two boxes is what you actually want to own? Because they're the same price. One is going to have way more features than the other, obviously. The Oya is going to have way more, supposedly is going to have way more going on with it.
It's still a little early to say for the Oya, because that thing doesn't exist yet.
And, yeah, but,
Obviously you're going to gamble.
But I mean, the promise is it's going to have like, oh, you're also going to have Twitch support. You're also going to have other, developed for the system games.
In theory, if that thing works... All of OnLive is solely dependent on how good your internet connection is.
Right. And so it's like, which are you, is OnLive shooting themselves in the foot, selling their boxes, being part of something that costs the same amount?
Yeah, I don't know, because they are able to do those crazy sales. Like, I got Darksiders and that box, the OnLive box, for like $40 total.
Yeah.
Including shipping and taxes and everything.
Right.
So, I mean, I could see them doing that, and in which case you went out. And because of the story... I was carousing the OnLive stuff and like what games I actually have access to, and they added a bunch more that I didn't have before. And man, that thing is pretty awesome.
Yeah, I'm thinking about it too.
And you can buy new games right now for like $7, $5 if you're a subscriber. If you're paying that $10 a month subscription fee, you can get New Saints Row for probably like $10. Like just straight up new games. Not the newest games. This is still the problem with OnLive. Yeah.
No, but they're going to have on
eventually. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Darksiders, they're having that on release. They're having a bunch of games on release pretty soon.
Yeah. Darksiders was like $6 or $7 on there, like the original one. If you're,
I think that's cheaper than it is on Xbox Live.
It's cheaper than it is like probably on Steam even. A lot of just big games are way cheap on there, and I'm like, man, I should be on here more often.
And then, so the other half of that question is like, which one of those? Have you seen the picture of the Ouya controller?
I have. It looks a little bit funky, but
it looks
you
terrible.
Never know until you hold it.
Yeah,
but the online controller is pretty badass.
Can you say that? Can you say that on the show?
So that's another thing you have to decide if you're going to buy one box or the other to play online service. It's like, which of these controllers am I going to be more comfortable with? It looks like to me like the OnLive controller is pretty big, pretty heavy.
It's mostly like an Xbox 360 controller, and it's not as heavy.
But it has like that huge centerpiece. What's in the middle of it?
There's nothing really. It has buttons on there for doing weird stuff with the actual box. I think it actually has a record button on it. So you're like, oh, I'm about to own this guy in whatever game I'm playing right now, multiplayer. You just hit the record button, and then it like saves a brag clip for you, and your friends can go and look at it anytime or whatever.
Huh.
So I think that's real. I think there's a play button and a fast forward button and stuff. And there's a lot of weird buttons on the front of that thing.
How do you not know because you've owned the box for how long now and you haven't played with it? What are you doing?
I don't know. It's school. School sucks. It takes up a lot of my time between school and school. I really don't. I haven't played a lot of games lately. And then
I haven't played anything this week.
When I do, it's like, I could fire up the Xbox, but I'm already on my computer and StarCraft matches are, relatively short. I can gauge how much longer a match is going to be or how much like investment it's going to be. If I start playing Xbox, I might not stop until the morning. So I just find myself playing a lot of like weird comp stomp StarCraft lately, trying to just mop up some Chivos. It's kind
of you said a lot of really funny words there, and Ryan shaking his head.
What did you just say? I don't understand any of this.
So I play StarCraft 2 against the computer.
So ComStomp is killing the computer because the computer is easy.
But then I've elevated
myself. Good for you. Good for you, Evan.
The computer is not easy.
You took down Skynet. Good job, friend.
I'm up to like very hard, and now I'm moving into insane Chivos now.
Explain the word Chivos.
Achievements.
I say
Chivos ironically. It's kind of a funny
thing. Unironically, you mean.
So Chivos
It's gotten to the point where I was making fun of it so much.
Wait, no, hold on a second. Stop. Chivos is your way of saying achievements?
Yeah. Chivos, man.
So I thought you were saying Cheetos.
I thought he was saying Cheetos for a long time, too.
Omar's got all the Borderlands Chivos.
Achievements.
Achievements.
No one says Chivos.
Everyone says
Chivos. Who says Chivos?
I don't know, people who are ridiculous.
People in
the
know.
You were going to say something else to start with a re.
No. Regretful.
Hey, Evan.
What?
Chivos.
It got to the point, you know how we used to make fun of people like, what's up, bro? What's up, bro? And then we just started saying it all the time, and then eventually it became part of our normal lexicon.
It's like when we started saying the word dwag instead of dog.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Hey, what's up, dwag?
That was a bad time. Those are bad times.
Is that where the Dwayne thing came from?
Yep, that was all me. So those who don't know Evan's brother, Jason Campbell, who is our tech guy, our IT guy?
I don't know that.
Is he our IT guy?
He's just our guy.
He's our guy.
He's our guy in the...
We love Jason Campbell.
In the inner space.
So, Jason Campbell, we used to call him Dwayner because he said, oh, I hate that sound, the dwa, dwa. And we're like, what, like Dwayne? And he's just like, yeah. So we just started calling him Dwayner for like 5 years.
It has never stopped.
I love calling him Dwayne. There's something so funny about it.
It's funny, too, because sometimes you can really see it that he's like, why are you still saying that? Like, he wants to yell at you. He wants to yell so bad.
Yeah, he'll always be Dwayner. So you have Chivos. How do you feel about collabos?
What's a collabo?
A collaboration, friend.
Nah, that's terrible.
What?
That's something some stupid business guy says. Yeah. He wears a dumb suit.
Yeah, I can see some Microsoft suit being like, hey, man, check out this new Call of Duty. You're going to get some sweet Chivos, bro. Oh, it's going to be so awesome. You get like 20 headshots. Maximum Chivo. So you can shut up with that stuff.
Whatever.
So, hey, you like Sonic the Hedgehog? Even though it's a really hard game, I have a hard time with Sonic the Hedgehog.
I think Sonic's all right.
Did you have a hard time with Mega Man?
No.
Omar?
I'm not going to say.
Mega Man,
I'm scared of your guys' wrath.
Mega Man could be a hard game, but it's a kind of game that you can grind, and it makes sense every time. Like,
yeah,
it's
Mega Man's like the kind of game Gaiden, that teaches you how to play better.
Yeah, you can, like, this guy's going to come here, and he's going to go there, and then you master your skills.
I wasn't really looking for an answer. This was just a segue to my new story. Archie Comics has announced the crossover of the century, Sonic the Hedgehog meeting Mega Man.
Really?
12-issue event in Archie Comics.
Does Mega Man kill Sonic and then steal his super speed?
They're teaming up.
Yeah.
They're teaming up.
But don't you feel like the Mega Man and Sonic universe kind of go hand in hand? Their bad guys are like almost the same bad guy.
Yeah, you mean the
Dr.
animals
Robotnik
mixed
and,
up with robots?
No, Dr. Robotnik and Dr. Wily.
Dr. Robotnik, Dr. Wily.
They're not remotely similar looking.
They're crazy scientists, dude.
Yeah, and they're both like big and round.
Well, no. Wily's real skinny, man. He just has a big round head.
They're both like balding. And they're like, their hair goes...
Yeah, they
like,
have crazy scientists.
Their hair like jetsons out.
I'll give
like,
you that.
They're like...
You say Jetsons?
No. So anyways, it's Archie Comics.
No, it's pretty smart.
Mega Man. Sonic the Hedgehog.
Except anytime...
Teaming up. There's teasers for this already. You got Mega Man's helmet and Sonic's shoes with the words, Heroes Collide. And then the next teaser is Proto Man's helmet and Sonic's knuckle gloves. Rivals Collide.
You mean Knuckles Knuckle Gloves?
Knuckles Knuckle Gloves.
Yeah.
So go check it out. You like Archie Comics? This seems like it might be a fun crossover. I don't pick up any of these Sonic the Hedgehog comics.
I feel like there's a lot to know about Sonic the Hedgehog. There's a big universe there.
It's gotten out of hand. There's now like girl Sonics and then black Sonics and all kinds of weird stuff.
Racist.
Well, they have black fur. I don't know. What else would I call him? I don't know their name.
What's
Shadow?
What's the guy's name
is Shadow.
Yeah, but what's up with Knuckles? What's the deal with Knuckles?
He's an Echidna.
He's got Knuckles.
He's a what?
Climbs trees.
Echidna. It's an animal, bro.
Is it Echidna? What?
Is that a real animal? Are you saying a word right now?
Yeah, that's a real animal.
Are you trying to like?
It's a rodent.
You're trying to put ninja into a word.
No, it's not ninja. Echidna.
There's like bat characters now. It's weird. There's giant robots.
You have Biggs the
Cat. Are you trying to say chinchilla?
No, it's called Echidna. Yeah. Knuckles the Echidna. Go look it up.
Go get your...
I'm not kidding. Google it, fool.
Go down to Earth 2. Get your most recent copy of Zoo Books. It'll be right in there in the front.
Zoo Books?
Yeah.
Echidna.
I'm trying to do a Ryan impersonation about going to Earth 2.
First off, that was a really bad impersonation.
I know.
I apologize. First off, I sound like a man when I talk.
Go on down to Earth 2 and get your Zoo Books.
Well, I don't sound like your dad. I sound like a man.
That's what my dad sounds like.
Your dad's a man, though, too. I like that guy.
Yeah.
Hey. Evan's dad's name is Bruce Campbell. How cool is that?
How far we have fallen from being a quality podcast.
Whoa. I want our listeners to know more about us. Your dad's name is Bruce Campbell. That is the coolest name a man can have. Anyways, go check out the Archie crossover. I think I'm going to check it out because I like Mega Man. That's a big universe that they can
Mega Man is really crazy, too, now, also, because if you think
is
all
there
those
a Mega Man cartoon?
There was.
But there's all...
Dude, there's so many different versions of Mega Man. You have the X, you have the Zero, you have...
Well, the Zero's the, not the version Legends. Of Mega Man.
Yeah, there's the Zero universe.
But Zero is...
Yeah, but Zero's a different character.
His own character, yeah.
But it's the Mega Man Zero.
Well, yeah, he's a spinoff.
Yeah. There's so many different... Shut up.
Fictions. I know what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying. Come on.
So just go with it when we say, hey, that's not... You're like, yeah, you're right. That's all you had to say.
No, that's not what I had to say. I don't agree with you right now. I think you should leave.
Okay, I'll go.
That's not very convincing. I see you sitting here.
Dang it.
Moving on to our next story.
Anyways, Apple filed some patents for near-field communications technology, I believe. Is that correct? NFC?
Yeah.
And
hey, doesn't the Wii U have those?
Yes. The Wii U is the only current... The only console I know of right now that uses it. I'm not sure. Does PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360 use NFC stuff?
No.
I don't think they do. And also, NFC is how Skylanders works. So all those Skylanders...
It's a version of it.
Yeah,
it's not NFC. It's something proprietary.
Isn't it, though, like the same tech?
I know that it won't work with anything but Skylanders.
Right, but...
And NFC is an open standard that anything that you could program to NFC will work like credit cards and all that stuff.
So Apple filed all these patents that basically covers all the range of anything that has to deal with iDevices, like your iPhone, iPad, iPod, anything with an I in it, and interacting with any other thing.
Yeah, that has the NFC chip
built in. That has an NFC chip built in, which is cool, and it's news because they're at least thinking about it. Because and what's got everybody up in arms is there's diagrams of like an iPhone next to an Xbox 360 and saying like these things are going to be able to talk to each other. And of course, Microsoft announced that with Smart Glass, but this is a little bit different, where Apple is actually kind of sanctioning this and saying like,
they're trying to cut other people out and take it for their own.
Exactly. A lot of patents are about protecting what you already have in a lot of ways. Or protecting what you want to have in the future.
Right.
So surely there's a lot of different things and a lot of people speculating about what this could mean. There's in the patent, they specifically talk about using an iPhone to control video games where you bump it up with like an Xbox controller or a PlayStation controller, let's say. And now the iPhone is actually the controller and stuff like that. And then they're saying the other way is that the iPhone could actually talk directly to a console if it had the NFC.
Yeah, whether it be the NFC chip or Wi-Fi or some other kind of like Bluetooth or infrared or whatever, however it decided that it needed to communicate with the system, that it would do things that would communicate like that.
Just one more thing in a bucket of things that points to the Wii U's controller kind of becoming obsolete before it's even released, in my eye.
Hmm.
Because... like, people already have iPads and stuff, and we've had this conversation a million times. It's a nicer screen, and if you actually co-develop software to run both things, you could do some really, really cool stuff with all types of different games if you have those things to interact with. Not necessarily saying that you're solely going to play a game on your console with your iPad or with your iPhone, but as a companion piece, I think it could be cool.
That was the weird thing about this patent filing, that it didn't say as a companion piece. It said as, like, taking the role of the primary controller. Like, terrible.
In the one example, yeah. But
terrible.
Nobody's going to do that. Yeah,
terrible.
Right.
And it's not only like, oh, Apple's going to patent this stuff. And if the software developers are like, oh, we don't want to put that in because it's dumb, it's not going to work.
Right.
So, like, this could be a patent they hold and nothing ever comes
nothing
of it.
Nothing ever comes of it. It's true.
And there's, and like, the other patent was like, oh, it'll talk to your thermostat, which already happens with the Nest. It'll talk right. to your sprinkler system, which already happens with
something else.
Yeah, this, like, home automation system that, you know, it's all of that stuff already exists.
What?
And Apple wants to just, like, take it over and make sure it doesn't work with their system. That's dumb.
Yeah.
It's, God.
That like, part
why
of it
close
really
it off more? Yeah, why close it off more instead of just making it more open?
If you, I mean, that's just their, that's their whole thing, right?
No, it's dumb.
By closing off their stuff, they can make their products better. They can develop specifically for their hardware without worrying about all the different scenarios where people change the hardware.
It's not changing the hardware though. It's using the hardware. It's using like people write an iPhone app to do this thing.
Right.
But now if they decide, apps outside of Apple apps are not going to have access to this chipset. That's just limiting what people can do.
Well,
that
also can charge people like, hey, you want to use this particular piece of code that allows the iPhone to talk with the new Xbox 720 or whatever, then you're going to have to pay us an additional licensing fee to use that or whatever. I mean, that's definitely like one handle of it. And that's just their stick, man. They want to make sure if you're using an iPhone to do something, it's like the best version of that thing it can be. And it's a little pig-headish and stupid. Yeah, and in some cases it's really, really frustrating. But in other cases that's why the iPad is awesome. That's why like iOS is awesome, you know.
Well, the iPad is awesome because I can get apps to do all the different things that I want to do with it.
Yeah, but the functionality of it, the way it works, the way that processes information, all of that stuff is because of the way their like ideology behind closing off their stuff.
I agree with you, but there's a point where that becomes a hindrance more than a benefit. And they're getting close to passing that point.
I think Microsoft is too in some ways with what you were mentioning earlier today. About Windows 8 and stuff, but
yeah, they're all it's dumb. Like Apple, like with Mountain Lion and stuff, like they did that whole walled garden thing where any app that's on your computer has to be sandboxed within its own set of memory stuff. Like it can't do things outside to different things in the system.
Right.
So anything that I wanted to do with my computer that I wanted to have a program that also controlled like the power settings on this or whatever, like because that's what I wanted it to do, doesn't exist anymore in the Apples.
That's a bummer.
It's done. Because they think it's better for it to be walled off. That's what I'm saying. It's like there's a point where, yeah, it's awesome that they have this very unique environment. But the more closed off they get, the less useful it's going to get. And it's going to end up like that way with the iPad too, I think.
That's true. And there's also a lot of stuff that we don't really consider because we're not developers and we don't exactly know how the inside of an iPad works and that sort of thing. So, I mean, I just trust that they're making the best decisions. But whenever a large company is making decisions, you never know. Who to trust, I guess. I don't know. It's hard, you know?
Yeah.
Well, you can trust me.
They have a lot of brand loyalty for a reason, and I don't know. What can we do at this point, anyway?
Like, right.
What could anybody do?
Nothing. Yeah. Don't worry about it. Well, my last bit of news isn't really news. It's an action item. My action item is this. I am really, really excited for Uncanny Avengers. That's right. I didn't really have any Marvel news this week because everything's been still kind of slow since San Diego. But I did come across this fantastic article over on Comic Book Resource. It's actually an interview with Rick Remender, who is writing the new Uncanny Avengers. And this is a little funny side story. I think we talked about on the show before. Me and Evan went to see Gorilla Biscuits at the Glass House here in beautiful Southern California. And we found out Rick Remender was there. He was at a hardcore show. So we were trying to tweet at him like, hey, let's go hang out. But he didn't get back to us in time.
He probably saw that tweet and we're like, oh, crap, I need to get out of here.
Yeah, he's like, let's get out of here.
Anyways.
People recognize me.
With all these new big Marvel Now stuff, I'm kind of excited. But I'm more excited the fact that Rick Remender is doing this rad mashup book of Avengers and the X-Men all on the same team. You got three X-Men, three Avengers. Put together, you have the Uncanny Avengers. And there's this rad interview where Rick Remender just talks about some of the stuff that he wants to do. He takes some fan questions. And I'm really, really excited about this book. And I think the reason why I'm excited is you're seeing some new interactions. The fact that you have Havoc, who is Cyclops' brother, in case you didn't know that. He is going to be leading this team that consists of Captain America, Thor, Wolverine, Rogue, Scarlet Witch. And Rick Remender goes on in this Q&A session to say, yeah, and we'll be adding other characters later on. And just talks about how he's going to be doing the arcs where it will kind of follow what he's been doing in X-Force. Where there'll be kind of like these little mini arcs, but it's all part of the overarching story that he's trying to tell. So this big epic, but kind of in these little acts I'm really looking forward to this. I just thought I would bring it up on the show because if you buy comic books like I do, you should make sure that you go pick this up. Rick Remender is a huge talent. I've been reading this guy's stuff for a while, back when he was doing Sea of Red, which was the Vampirate story. Vampirates. That makes sense? Vampire Pirates?
Got it.
I liked it. It was good. But no, this Uncanny Avengers could be something really, really cool. And I'm glad Marvel's kind of taking a chance with taking three Avengers, three X-Men, putting them on a team. You know, this whole Avengers versus X-Men thing has left a really bad taste in my mouth. And I'm really trying to get excited on Marvel again. I think this is my gateway drug back in. You know what I'm saying?
Dude wrote Bulletstorm. I can back that.
Yeah. Yeah, he wrote Bulletstorm. And he used some language that I tried to repeat on the show once and Omar beat me out. I mean, he beat me real good. Anyways, I'm really excited about it, so I just thought I'd bring it up. If you like the new story or the new stuff that I mentioned this week, all these can be found on bleedingcool.com, comicbookresources.com, newsarama.com, comic bind, and Comic Alliance. These are the sites I go to get my news. I just thought I'd give a shout out to all those .coms because you guys all rock, and that's where I get my news from. I think it's important for people to know. Those are my sources.
They come from the source.
You can't reveal your sources.
But I can reveal my .coms. I'll reveal them. They're all good .coms. Everybody should check this out, especially if you're new to comics or you're not new and you want to get back in. Go check out those websites. They are full of information on all the different types of stuff that the big two, the indie guys, everybody's doing.
I like that you use the term action item.
It's an action item, fool.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
We should have more action items.
I think action items are the supreme excellence.
I think they're the future of indestructible art.
Hey, I was going to ask you guys about this big leak.
What big leak?
The big Sony All-Stars leak.
Yeah, I don't know.
I missed it.
You didn't see it?
I haven't, no.
I looked on the show notes and I was like, whoa, how come you guys didn't bring that up? Seems like it'd be a pretty big deal.
Because who cares, man?
What was the leak?
They announced, there was a leak of like three different stages that they're going to have. One of them was the BioShock Infinite. One of them was...
Ooh.
I can't remember the other
one.
Well,
it got bigger. Then
there was a bunch of characters.
They released all the characters, all the minions. Did you see that?
No.
Yeah, every single playable character will have what they call a minion, which is like a character that will help them in their fight. That they can tag in.
I suck.
Yeah, I was following up on that.
I should have read that.
Wait, I'm the comic book guy? And I'm doing video game news.
Whatever.
How about that? That's because
When did that go up?
I dibble dabble in both. I read this morning.
Yeah, that was like yesterday or today.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, a bunch of unannounced, like we have Evil Cole, Good Cole. Those are surprises, right?
They had the character from Medieval.
Okay, that's pretty awesome.
Pretty funny character.
Yeah, he's a cool dude. Sir Francis.
Raiden?
Is that his name?
Yeah.
Raiden was announced.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Expected, but...
Yeah, there was a bunch of other ones. I could pull it up for you if you want.
There was... did they already announce Clank? Ratchet? Ratchet?
I'm sure he's in there.
Yeah, that wasn't announced, but that was on the list.
He was on that list. Ratchet, there's also... I mean, I think Jax was already announced, right?
Right.
Yeah, Jack and Daxter.
I'm kind of glad I missed it, actually. I don't know. Well, all the Super Smash Dojo stuff kind of turned me off from getting the weekly of, like, oh, here's a new item that's in the game. Here's a new character. It's like, you know what? I'm going to see it all, and when I do, it will be epic.
Well, I'm about to spoil it for you, fool.
All right, hit me.
All right, well, I'm pulling it up here.
You went into the other room, apparently.
Okay. Sorry, I just came back in. So they announced 14 stages.
Ooh.
So we have Alden's Tower from Infamous, the Black Rock Station from Twisted Metal, Columbia from BioShock Infinite, Dojo from Pa Rappa the Rapper, Dreamscape from Little Big Planet, Franzia from Loco Roco, Hades from God of War, Invasion from Killzone, Metropolis from Ratchet and Clank, Paris from Sly Cooper, Sandover from Jack and Daxter, San Francisco from Resistance, Stowaway from Uncharted, Time Station, Ape Escape.
Wow.
The 15th.
Oh, man, are they going to put the Ape Escape guys in there?
It's Konami, so, yeah.
Yeah, and so here's the full roster according to this leak. We got Big Daddy from BioShock, Colonel Raddick from Killzone, Dante from the new Devil May Cry, Evil Cole from Infamous, Fat Princess from Fat Princess, Good Cole from Infamous, Hayachi from Tekken, God, I can't talk today. Jack and Dexter from Jack and Dexter, Kratos from God of War, Noriko from Heavenly Sword, Nathan Drake from Uncharted, Pa Rappa the Rapper, Raiden from Metal Gear Solid, Ratchet from Ratchet and Clank, Sackboy from Little Big Planet, Sir Daniel Fortescue?
Oh, Sir Daniel, sorry.
From Medieval, Sly Cooper from Sly Cooper, Spike from Ape Escape, Sweet Tooth from Twisted Metal, and Toro the Sony Icon.
Oh, where's Snake?
We got Raiden instead.
Yeah,
maybe
interesting.
Maybe because Snake was playing with Mario.
You think that's
you
a full roster?
To the party.
You don't think that the...
This is a full party, full roster, and plus they...
This far. Or those are just what's been leaked that's new.
Yeah.
Well, how many characters is that? That was kind of a lot of characters.
Yeah.
So each... And so they list the full list of the items that will be available from, like, the Atomizer from Resistance 3. There's a bunch of other
that
stuff on
cool.
here. The Golf Club from Hot Shots Golf. The Gravity Shield from Wipeout.
Just any golf club, really.
The RPG from Uncharted, the Railgun from Metal Gear Solid 4, and Murder of Crows from Bioshock Infinite, and then each character will have a minion.
Well, I wonder what that means. Murder of Crows from Bioshock Infinite?
A Murder of Crows is just what you call a big group of crows.
I know, but like, that's, I wonder what that means
maybe,
in from Bioshock.
That's some kind of cool plasmid or something, right?
Yeah, like, yeah. Wait, are you going to like call down the thunder of crows?
Yeah.
I imagine it's just like the bee one, the bee plasmid.
Yeah, but crows
but
are
crows
way gnarly.
Actually, they've already
bees.
Showed this. They've already showed it.
What?
You know, like,
where?
Crows
where?
Fly out of your hands, I believe.
Where
no.
did you see that? I have not seen that.
Me and Omar are the definitive experts of Bioshock Infinite on this show.
Well, you're
going to
feel pretty silly after the show when you go online and see the video.
Go online right now. What are you talking about?
Yeah. Yeah. Prove me wrong. Prove me wrong. Bring it up.
All right.
So, yeah, minions were announced. Athena from God of War, Captain Quark from Ratchet and Clank, Dollface from Twisted Metal, Helgas from Killzone, Kai from Heavenly Sword, Kat from DMC, Kira, Jack and Dexter, Kaya from Medieval, Kuma from Tekken, Little Sister from Bioshock, Monkey from Apex Escape, Murray from Sly Cooper, Nyx from Infamous 2, Pierre from Doko Demo Isho. You're a big fan of that one, right, Evan?
I have no idea.
PJ Berry from Paw, Rap of the Rapper, Sackbot from Little Big Planet 2, Sam from Metal Gear Rising, Sully from Uncharted, Worker from Fat Princess, and Zeke from Infamous. There's also all the modes were released as well. You have Arcade Mode, Capture the Flag, Challenge Trials, Character Trials, Countdown Attack, Free Roam, General Trials, King of the Hill, Land Game, Solo Play. So yeah,
where did all this stuff come from?
Pretty big
yeah,
leak.
Yeah, that's my question I was going to ask you. Where did the leak come from?
I don't know.
And that's why you're the comic book guy.
Whoa. No, the leak comes from a guy who knew a guy from a friend of a dude who knew somebody, but they promised not to say anything.
Do you think Seth Killian broke somebody's back when he found out the leak had happened?
But the thing is, looking into this leak...
He threw a fireball.
Looking into this leak, some of it seems very possible. I mean, I could...
I'm sure all that stuff's in there, yeah. I mean, that's way too much information to not be true, almost.
Yeah. Actually, if you want, I can tell you who the leak was.
You
want to
know?
I'll tell you if you really want to know. It was, Sorry, I'm scrolling.
In other
they
news,
were on
I guess.
They were on the Neo GAF forums.
Yeah, NeoGAF is not a very reliable source for stuff like that.
It is and it isn't. I don't know.
People, that's NeoGAF is where they like release the fake stuff to see who bites.
Well, it's like the best and the worst of everybody.
Yeah. All I know is that everybody's running with this story right now.
Well, everybody does. That's just what happens, even if it's not even true sometimes.
Hey, should we place bets to see if it's right or wrong?
No, we already all agreed that it's probably accurate.
All right. Well,
but we can place bets on this Murder of Crows thing if you guys
want. Oh, Evan's really butthurt about this, that me and you, being the Bioshock experts, say, we never saw this Murder of Crows thing.
I have not seen anything
I have not
like
seen
that.
It either.
I feel like I've seen it, but maybe it's just a thing.
I've seen some crows and stuff in the video, but I didn't see like you commanding a murder of crows.
We'll talk about it later. Let's talk about Valve and their new, current and recent downloadable content for Left 4 Dead.
Yeah, Left 4 Dead 2, which is how long ago now?
That game has got to be like 2 or 3 years old.
Yeah,
point.
And they're just releasing the first DLC.
It's not the first one, is it? It can't be.
I think
it is. It's got to be at least the second one. I feel like the first one was called like Train Yard or something.
No, that was in there. That was an original one.
Ooh. I don't know about that either, but
I see a lot of fighting going on this episode all of a sudden. I'm going to look this up while you guys talk about this.
Yeah, because it's, you know, whichever, if it's the second one, fine. But it's been how many years now, and they're putting out DLC for it right now? Like, why?
Because, as we've discussed in the show, as much as we know about, like, the development cycle that goes on at Valve, they just work on whatever they want to when they want to. And if they feel like, you know, it's time for Left 4 Dead DLC to come out, then it's time for Left 4 Dead DLC to come out. And the loyal fans of Left 4 Dead will go and buy that stuff up and love every minute of it.
Yeah, so there's the thing. The second part of that story is that DLC is meant to be free. It's free everywhere but Xbox.
Well, there you go. And that's par for the course for Microsoft.
Yeah, that's another, you know, another bee in your bonnet for Microsoft. Microsoft release.
Your bonnet.
I love it.
Yeah, making it impossible to release things for free.
How's that for an action item? Bee in your bonnet.
Oh, that action item? Bee in the bonnet? That really fixes my wagon.
It's crazy, but whatever. They're going to do what they're going to do, and hopefully it's good. I hope people don't hate it, because then people will start asking, like, what are you guys actually doing over there, Valve? but I doubt. I think it will probably be just
Is
fine.
It something you're into?
The DLC or Left 4 Dead?
Well, you and Jason played Left 4 Dead a ton.
Yeah, I like it. I haven't played it in such a long time, because I think that kind of got overtaken by Borderlands at some point. Or we just stopped playing together for a long time, and then Borderlands happened. And then, you know, Borderlands.
You guys are want to know about the DLC? There's been multiple DLC released for...
I knew it wasn't the first one.
There was the first one was The Passing, which was released March 2010.
Was that Left 4 Dead 1 or 2?
Yeah, because there's two Left 4 Dead games.
Yeah,
it says right here, Left 4 Dead 2, Passing.
The Passing.
It was released in March 2010.
Because that's the one that allows you to play the original characters in the second game, I think.
A prequel to The Passing called The Sacrifice was released on October 5th, 2010.
There we go.
And that was an add-on for both Left 4 Dead and Left 4 Dead 2.
So that didn't happen. That was just a PC thing then.
Weird, yeah. It must have been. Yeah, I know there's definitely patches on PC. I don't know if The Passing came to Xbox Live. But.
Yeah, that might have been something like, hey, play the original maps in the second game or something.
Right.
Because that was one of the things people got super pissed off. This is like, hey, why are you putting out Left 4 Dead 2 so soon after Left 4 Dead 1? Let us have a chance to do the modding that the Steam community loves to do.
And the new Left 4 Dead DLC is called Cold Stream?
Yes.
Yes. Sorry, I'm looking for a Murder of Crows about Bioshock because you guys are being mean about it.
I'm not being mean about it. We were just surprised because me and Omar are like, whoa, this is a pretty big development.
The drink in Bioshock Infinite is called Murder of Crows.
The drink?
Yeah.
The what?
There's like a potion or like an ale or something. The dude picks it up and it's called Murder of Crows and he drinks it.
Where did you see this?
It's in the freaking demo, you guys.
I watched that demo like 20 times, dude. Which one? Were you privy to some insider information?
No. It's probably in a gameplay. And he picks the bottle up and he looks at it and it has some weird
And then he image on it. Then he commands crows?
I don't know if he actually drinks it, but I know for a fact that the name of the stuff that he drinks is called Murder of Crows.
Hey, I think we just found Evan's Superman teaser, if you know what
that means. No, I'm not angry. I kind of want to talk about Borderlands, though.
Yeah, we have one
we
last...
We have more Borderlands to talk about?
Oh, we have man. So much Borderlands stuff to talk about. Every day,
I, you know what?
All
I heard,
the days.
I heard that game's not that time. Good.
Dude, you
From
missed
who?
Out. You missed out. Borderlands 1 was on sale on... it was one of the gold box sales on Amazon for like $17 or something.
I'll just go buy it you somewhere.
You won't get the DLC, though.
Who cares about DLC?
DLC is so good.
You have
really?
To play. Yeah, you have to play
fine.
The DLC.
Hey, someone give me some DLC.
You got to go buy a new copy of the Game of the Year edition. And it was $17 on like a gold box sale.
If you buy it for PlayStation 3, I will buy it for PlayStation. I will buy Omar a copy for PlayStation 3. And we will jump down this
You know what's funny about that? My original Borderlands game was on PS3. And then I was playing with Jared, who never played with me. And then Evan and Jason were playing a ton on Xbox. So I was like, all right. I bought it on Xbox and sold my copy of the PS3 one. So I'm going to end up buying it again on PS3.
We can go online and play against each other?
Yes.
With each other. Well, forget that. Why don't we just go play some Call of Duty?
No.
How about that?
Because Call of Duty is so insignificant compared to the joy.
Oh, you're get out of here, man. Get out of here, dude. That Black Ops is pretty cool.
It is cool.
I'm late to the party, and I like it.
Well, you can be even later to this party, and you're going to like it even more.
Yeah.
But so
it's you just, do like being late to parties.
Yeah. I like being the last one to get there and the first one to leave.
So Borderlands, Joystick recently posted an article, and I'm not sure if this is the original source, because it seems like Game Informer kind of had all the Borderlands coverage locked up exclusively for a little while, where they were kind of doing like this
like
slow
schedule,
release.
Yeah,
scheduled release of like news items. So, we read the story on Joystick, and it basically describes different enemy AI. For example, an enemy AI that can level up when it kills dudes.
Yeah.
How awesome is that? It's freaking awesome if you didn't know. There's some other cool characters. There's like a sandworm who makes like a black hole of sand. If you get near it, it sucks you in. And he also shoots out like little worms that go in the air, and then they kind of dive bomb you and try and kill you. Amazing. What's your favorite enemy of this, Omar?
Of the ones that you wrote here on the list?
Yes.
I don't know, because I'm torn, because I got to play the game a little bit at E3.
I have played the game a little bit as well.
And there was none of this crazy stuff. Like, all I saw at the E3 demo was...
I saw the worms.
I was just killing bugs, man. Killing the same bugs that I killed in one.
I see.
But, like, there was all this stuff. I wish I would have seen some of this stuff.
Yeah, and some of that stuff is you know, kind of, they have scheduled releases for what they can show and what they can't, and, you know, E3 fits into that, so they're obviously not going to show you the whole game at E3.
Right.
Some of it's not balanced, or some of it's not done, but there's some cool enemies in there. There's these particular, like, they're going a whole new direction with all the robots in the game, where if you, like, shoot off their legs, they'll still, crawl after you, like, right. Terminator. And now they have, like, these surveyor robots that will run around and or fly around and heal those guys and, like, fix their legs and stuff, I think, from what I understand. There is a giant robot that looks, you know, I haven't seen this robot, so I don't exactly know. But it's a giant robot that basically builds the mobs, and then you have to shoot that thing. Kind of like laser tag, you remember in laser tag when you have to go and you have to shoot, like, the red light, and that's, like, the base.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's like that, but this thing actually builds mobs. And that thing also is nuclear capable. It has nuclear missiles that will shoot at you, or mini nukes, you know, like, and it has lasers and stuff attached to it, apparently. So there's all kinds of cool stuff. I'm really excited about this thing they call the Lego bricking, which is basically this mechanic they've developed for their AI for little AI and big AI, like literally like smaller dudes and larger dudes to kind of team up together. And so if there's like a giant robot and there's like a midget guy, the midget guy will climb on the robot's back and then start fighting you. Or let's say, for example, I've seen images of like midgets riding skags. So I imagine right. That's probably part of Lego bricking. There's also areas where there's these giant marauder type guys that will tie midgets to their shields. And I don't know if that's part of Lego bricking. That just seems mean. But yeah, there seems like there's a lot of cool stuff in there. That's,
yeah,
that's
this game, I mean, there was that story a couple of weeks ago, like, oh, it's going to be 56 hours or something for like the standard gameplay
and who
per
knows?
Character.
That's neither here nor there. But
I still think that's a good indication of the level of depth.
Even if they're 10 hours game. Shy of that estimate.
Still,
you know, it's still a pretty good investment.
Yeah, and that's per character, and that's probably not going crazy with exploration and stuff like that. Like,
right.
Man, this game is going to be so good.
And do you know if that Mechromancer class comes out day of launch?
I don't think so.
Okay, so that's kind of exciting to me because everybody's going to start playing again to check out that character.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be like super far after launch. Like, we're not talking months or anything.
Right.
But yeah, we're going to have a chance to play the game with the standard characters, get through it, probably beat the story or whatever, and then a new class is going to come out.
Ryan, maybe you should just hold out for Borderlands 2.
Yeah.
But you need some backstory, though.
Yeah.
Do well, I? Do really. I really? I'm a pretty smart guy. I can figure these things out.
There's not a whole lot of backstory.
There's like, you know, learning how to play.
And seeing the different characters again, I guess it'd be cool.
So can we go, if I go online with you guys on this Borderlands for PS3, do we get to like fight each other? Is that what we're doing?
We could, but nobody's ever beaten Omar.
Really? Are you that good?
It's not that he's good. It's just his character is stacked.
Whoa. It's that I'm good enough to build a character that's stacked.
Well, he's got a stacked character nonetheless.
Well, the gauntlet has been thrown down. I see that as a challenge.
Yeah, well, you're going to have to get it on Xbox so I can play with you my real character.
I guess all we need
is... Well, I'm going to play you with a real console. How about that?
Yeah, I mean, that's all we got for news, I think. Unless there's anything I missed.
We should start like a weekly countdown to Borderlands, because it's pretty close.
It is
getting... We are now 7 days away from Borderlands 2.
So it comes out in September. Tis the season, though. I can feel it getting
close. We are a couple weeks away.
A month?
When's the release date for this thing?
I think it's mid-September.
I don't remember. It's 17th, like maybe?
Yeah, somewhere in there.
Well, we'll start the official...
13, 17, and 21 all seem pretty close to me. All
right, well, listen. We'll find this out, and we'll start the official clock.
Countdown. The Robocalypse.
Countdown to Omar staying at home and missing work.
Yeah, that's true.
That countdown is basically in place for me for Resident Evil 6.
The countdown
when
for...
When Resident Evil 6 comes out, I basically... I'm probably calling sick to the show. I will probably give you some bad excuse like Spencer does, where like, my throat's starting to hurt, guys, can't show up. And you'll be like, but Ryan, didn't you just go by Resident Evil 6? And I'll say like, shut up. Yes, I did.
I don't need to talk to play Resident Evil.
Yeah, be fine.
What is your traditional like new game setup? Like, what do you do when you get a new game, Ryan? What's like your ritual stuff?
Well, after I purchase the game, I go home. And yeah. I do this every single time. I've been doing this since I was a kid. Is I get the game, I put it in front of me, and I sit on the couch. And I look at the box art for like 5 minutes and just study the box art. And then I turn it around and I read the back and I get a sandwich. I'll make myself something to eat. And I'll sit there and I'll study it. Just look at the box, but I do not read the inside of the book. I just look at the box and I'll eat a sandwich. And I'll study the outside of the box. I swear I do this for every single game I buy. And then after I'm done eating, I will put the game in. I will not read the manual. I never read the manuals to any of my games, ever.
I don't think there's a reason to anymore, but there used to be.
Yeah, never have. And then I put it in, and I make sure that if it's a game I'm really looking forward to, I make sure I don't have to go to work the next day. So I like to start this on like a Friday night, because the worst thing in the world is starting a game and being like, oh man, this is so awesome. I'm just going to stay up totally late and play this and realize, no, stupid, you got to be at work tomorrow. And if you play Castlevania all night long, you are going to be a real bear at work tomorrow.
A reliability in the workplace.
Yeah. When Metroid Prime came out, I called in sick to work for 3 straight days. And I've never called in sick to work. And it's because I started Metroid like on a Tuesday. And I shouldn't have done that. I should have started on a Friday night. And that's when I prefer to start my games, is on Friday nights. But now it's a little different because, you know, I live with my beautiful fiance and I have my dog. And I have this podcast, but I have these other things, other interests that I do on the side, plus working this crazy, you know, job that I do now. So it's really hard for me to just sit there and be like, all right, this weekend I'm going to play, you know, Metroid all weekend. It just doesn't happen anymore. And that's what sucks about getting older. Listen, if you're listening to the show, don't get old. Don't get a job.
Stop aging. Yeah.
Don't go to school.
Or get a job.
Don't do any of those things. Play video games. Read comics. Be young forever. Don't become me. I don't get to read comics as much as I want to because I have these things called responsibilities, and it sucks.
When I get a new game,
stay at home and live with your parents as long as possible.
I clean everything. Like, I go on a cleaning binge. I start cleaning stuff. Like, I don't want anything to interrupt me or distract me from the game, at least if it's a new game that I'm like pretty excited
for. Wait. You clean your house?
Yeah, clean the house.
Not just like... You don't just clean the entertainment stand the couch that you're going to be sitting on.
I got to do the dishes.
TV. Yeah, the dishes got to be done.
I got to pick up the dog poop.
I don't have a dog. Well, not in my apartment. make the bed and take out the trash.
Really?
All that stuff.
Well, the thing is, I'm a neat freak, so my house is always clean.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't have to worry about that stuff. But I see what you're getting at. Like, I don't want to be interrupted with, like, unnecessary chores.
Right, yeah.
Right? And the last thing is, like, if I start a game, like, I wait for my fiance Nicole to, like... Like, oh, I'm going out with the girls. I'll be like, cool, have a good time. I'm going to stay home and play some video games. I don't want to be distracted. She goes out, and, like, it's kind of hard to play video games with Nicole there just because, like, I feel like it's a really – I don't want to say it's a waste of my time, but I feel really, really bad because I take over the whole entire living room.
Right, yeah.
There's Coke Zeros all over the place. There's tofu and chips everywhere. It's me and my dog Ace hanging on the couch, like – sometimes I'm not wearing pants. And I don't want my fiance to come walking in the house and see me covered in tofu, wearing no pants, dog on the couch, and I got a...
He's eating the tofu out of your chest.
I got a PlayStation controller in my hands, and my chest hair is just, like, flaring out everywhere.
it's definitely a scene that nobody wants to imagine, you know, let alone...
What was the last game that you guys all did all this crazy stuff for?
Wow, maybe Batman or what came out? Yeah, Batman. Probably Batman Arkham City.
Really? And you were that into it where you played it you marathoned that game?
I have all 400 Riddler trophies.
Whoa.
I don't know what that says about anything, but...
It shows that Evan doesn't have to work.
That is quite the feat. Because I tried to do that because there was like, you know, the Riddler storyline that I wanted to actually experience, but you had to get so many trophies to see the next step.
So it must have been Uncharted then because Uncharted came out after and I remember even on this podcast, I was talking about like, I have to hurry up and get all these trophies because if I don't get them now, I'm going to start Uncharted and I'll never do it. So
he literally freaked out like that. Yeah. And I was like, I slapped him twice and said, Evan, get a hold of yourself. The trophies will still be there.
And yeah. They are all 400 of them.
You know, I think I did that with Halo Reach.
Yeah.
Like, I just got so involved in the campaign. But I find myself when I dork out about anything, it's about comics. And my comic book routine is the same as my
video game.
Oh, yeah.
Comics is the same for me, too. Yeah.
It's where, like, I make it a day where there's nothing for me to do. I don't have to do any gardening. I don't have to do any work stuff. And what I'll do is I'll pick up my pull, which usually consists of anywhere from 25 to 36 books. And I will go home after I leave my favorite comic book store, Earth 2. Shout out. Big ups to Earth 2. But I will stop on my way home. I'll go to the Follow Your Heart, the nice little vegan grocery store restaurant thing, / vegetarian. And I will stop there, pick up food. I do this every single time. And then I go home, and I'm not to be disturbed. I'm not doing anything. Don't talk to me. I'm reading my comics.
I feel like I can't do that anymore. Like, I used to be the same way.
It's
with
definitely
like
harder. Yeah.
Well, not only is it that I have other things that take my time, is that I get bored. I even though I love the game that I'm playing, I get bored of it and I just stop. Like, I can't do anything for more than like 2 hours at a time.
Really?
Yeah, like even like reading the new comic books. I've been into all these new comics and stuff. I can't read them for that long. I get bored of reading.
Some books don't grab me as well as others, and some games don't grab me, you know? I'll have to switch. You know, if it's like, man, this is too much of this, or...
Yeah, like, Portal 2 grabbed me pretty hard.
That was a pretty short game, though.
Yeah, but the thing is, it grabbed me, and, like, I didn't want to do anything. I see what Omar's saying. Like, after a couple hours of playing something, like, I'm like, oh, okay, I'm getting kind of tired. Like, I really liked Resident Evil Revelations. I thought it was a lot of fun, but, like, after, like, 3 hours, I'm like, okay, I'm going to take a break and go to bed for a little bit. Like, I was able to pull myself away from that. Sometimes I can't pull myself away until I'm physically, like, just falling asleep.
Man, I really want to end this podcast and go play some video games right now.
So we got any listener questions this week?
No, but I want to talk about some of these comics that I read.
Oh, well, that's even better.
I read Batman 11, finally.
What'd you think?
Meh.
Meh?
Yeah.
Meh.
Doesn't it wrap up everything?
It I guess it does, but not in a very climactic way.
Oh, you found it anticlimactic.
Be careful. It's very hard to say things about Batman in here.
Wow, it's very hard to say anything about Scott Snyder in here.
Whoa.
Yeah.
But yeah,
choose your next words carefully, Omar.
But yeah, like, you know, it left it way too open for there to be any kind of conclusion.
It's a comic book.
I know, but still. Happens. And it was just like all of this buildup, all those issues were crazy, crazy, crazy. And then all of a sudden it was over. And it wasn't that cool.
Welcome to comics. That's just the way it is. I thought it was really cool, actually. I liked the way it tied up. I liked that it was kind of this... It was still unclear whether or not that... Lincoln March was really the long-lost brother of Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, I mean...
I really liked Ray Capullo's art. I really liked how big and epic the fight got between the two. I was all over Gotham while they're just basically knocking each other out all over the Gotham skyline.
Yeah, but they weren't, though. It was just kind of... Because of the owl beating up on Batman, like dragging him around.
Yeah, it was a brother beating up the brother. Happens all the time. Evan, you got a brother. Jason ever beat you up?
Only once.
Ooh.
And then never again.
But what about that time he threw you in dog poop?
That was the time. There was one time we had played ARMS. Remember that game? You hit each other in the arm as much as you can?
Yeah.
And I think it was like my senior year in high school or something, and I had to take like weights as an elective. Just to get rid of
class. That time you were juicing. I remember that. You were a jerk to be around that time.
And I don't think he realized, like, because I had been swimming a lot every day and, like, lifting weights and all this stuff. And I don't think he realized. So he's like, come on, dude, let's do this. And he kept punching me. I was like, you don't want me to punch you, man.
You wouldn't like Evan when he's angry.
I punched him and I felt bad. But it wasn't as hard as the time that you punched him. When you guys were putting that pillow in your shirt.
Oh,
and then
yeah.
Punching each other.
Yeah, we were me and Jason. Where were we? I think we were in Salt Lake City or Logan, Utah.
Yeah.
And the only fun thing you could find to do
was put a pillow in your shirt.
We grabbed these pillows and we put them underneath our shirt, and we're like, hey, we should just punch each other really, really hard. So like, Jason punched me like really hard, and I was like, all right, my turn. And I punched Jason, and Jason went flying like 20 feet and like hit the back of the van. It was pretty funny.
Yeah, when we're in our prime, man, us Campbells, we're pretty thin dudes. You know, we're quick. And we can be strong, but we don't got a lot of weight.
You're not that quick and you're not that strong. I've known both of you for many years. No, you're not.
All right.
But you guys are very smart and handsome.
The other thing I read was that Batman Annual, the Mr. Freeze one.
What'd you think?
It was pretty cool.
It was cool. It was a unique twist on the whole Freeze relationship. So after the show ended last week, we were talking about some Scott Snyder stuff. And I said, hey, that Batman Annual, Scott Snyder kind of tweaked Mr. Freeze's origin around a little bit, and a lot of people didn't necessarily like it. So I'm glad that you had a chance to check it out and give me your thoughts, because I liked it.
Yeah, I thought it was cool.
I think it still makes him a sympathetic character. It just makes him crazy, which is, I think that's always the coolest characters.
For me, it took away the whole sympathetic thing. It made him a lunatic.
Yeah, as he should be.
I kind of like the way Mr. Freeze is I like that there's some Batman characters that you can totally, or enemies.
I like
villains.
The humanity. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot that you can really relate to.
See, I still thought he still had this humanity. I like the idea that he's a lost soul.
So no Bat and Freeze? No Buddy Cop?
No.
Bat and Freeze hitting the streets.
I read Saga 5.
I've read that.
I haven't read it yet.
Who read it? Oh, was it Spencer?
Maybe.
It was good. And then I read Kingdom Come 0-5.
What do you think?
It was very interesting. I just don't dig all the biblicalness of
it. Is it as good as Planetary?
No.
Bummer.
Well, two different stories.
Yeah, but I liked the idea behind it.
All I'm asking
is, I just don't like the presentation of it.
Was Planetary more entertaining to read, or Kingdom Come more entertaining to read?
Planetary.
Oh, I see the way you framed that question, yeah. I see that.
Well,
nice, I see it, I understand.
It's only 6 issues, it's easy to get through.
Oh, okay. I'll probably read it.
I think it's beautiful. There is a lot of biblical.
They're long issues, though, right? They're way longer than normal.
Yeah, but the artwork is amazing.
The artwork is very nice. But the presentation of the story, I don't know. I guess it's just my opinion, but I didn't relate with it. I didn't find it engrossing. I like the idea, the premise behind the storyline, where, you know, these superheroes are getting older and they either something happened and they retire, or they retire, you know, they're just getting old and they stop, and then the world kind of goes to poo, and then they all have to come back, and it's like too late, too little, too late kind of thing.
Yeah, I like the idea that Bruce Wayne never stopped. Everybody else is like, we're getting old, but Bruce Wayne's like, forget that.
Yeah.
I'm still going.
I'm going to wear this like weird exo armor because is that because his back is broken kind of thing?
Well, it's because his body's been through so much, you know, trauma throughout all the years of being Batman that now he has to have this exoskeleton just to, like, stand and walk.
Yeah, just to walk around. I like how they dropped that same joke that was in Dark Knight Rises, like, oh, that's what that feels like when the people disappear. They totally drop that joke in there.
Mm-hmm.
When's that coming from? Like the 80s?
90s.
90s?
Yeah.
It's just funny that joke is there.
As funny as that thing was, it's pretty ridiculous.
What?
It's just his voice. Oh, that's what that feels like.
I thought his voice was better in Dark Knight.
Oh, yeah. It was definitely better.
And you know what? I decided that Bane's voice is the coolest voice I've ever heard in my life.
It's cool as long as you're not looking at him while he's talking.
A combination of like Sean Connery meets Darth Vader meets Count
Chocula. There's like another chalk up another continuity issue. You know, like there's things that are stacked against that film where I understand that people critiquing it have their place to critique it.
Yeah,
I'm not saying it's a bad movie, but
opinions are like elbows.
It's not without its
Everybody's
faults.
Got them.
That's the thing.
I like you changed that to elbows.
Yeah, we all got them. No big deal.
I read like 6 issues of that comic Mouse Guard.
Oh.
7.
Those pictures are real pretty.
What do you think?
They're cool, but there's some of the panels are a little bit confusing to me. I don't know. Maybe you guys should check it out and then tell me what you think.
I've actually I've been thinking about picking that up for quite a while.
Yeah, it's an interesting book. It reminds me a bit of Wind in the Willows, you know, at least of the cover of that novel. Have you guys seen it?
Yeah.
Well, I
back in the day.
I paged through it just to see what you were looking for.
You have like weasels and like badgers and stuff, and they like have weapons and they.
I imagine
they
Secret of Nim.
Yeah. No, not exactly. Anyways, in Mouse Guard, you have all these mice. They live in different cities, and a mouse guard is a specific order that escorts mice from one place to another safely. So they're like supposedly like super awesome fighters that basically protect you. And. Just interesting stuff happens on their journey, and their predators are like snakes and stuff. And so the snakes and the other kinds of predators don't really seem to talk like the mice do. So it's kind of an interesting world where the snakes and stuff are still kind of like snakes, but the mice are actually characters. And before you ask me like how you tell them apart, some of the mice are different colors. So they call like one guy a red fur, but then like other mice, like they wear scarves and stuff. So they use like colors to tell you like, oh, this is this character. And they don't all just kind of like look the same.
Well, there's no names.
They do have names as well, but that's how you like, you can tell you're looking at one guy as opposed to not the other. And I'm just kind of beating around the bush, not trying to spoil the story.
Yeah, no, I've heard really good things about it, and I've been thinking about picking it up for a while now.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
I paged through the one that you were looking for.
Yeah.
It looks real pretty.
Yeah. It's the artwork's cool. There's nothing wrong with that. I just was expecting more out of it. I wanted a deeper world.
Well, you've only read 5 issues, right?
6, and I've started 7. And I think there's only, there's like, they start at fall, and then there's 6 books. And then there's Winter, and then there's six books. And I don't know how much further they are than
give
that.
Give it time, baby.
Yeah.
They always, you know, that's the thing is with these comics, you always got to stick through it through a couple arcs to see if you really like
what,
it.
What was it that got you into it?
Just the artwork, and then seeing like that weird kind of like mice with swords. It's kind of adorable.
It is kind of cute seeing a rodent with a sharp device.
Yeah, you want to see like a mouse just tear it up.
How do you say that's not like Secret of Nim?
Because they don't use weapons in Secret of Nim.
Yeah,
right?
They do.
Aren't they just like straight up animals and they escape from a laboratory and they wear clothes?
You're crazy.
Yeah. Have you seen Secret of Nim?
I think so.
It's super old.
Yeah. And there's a crow.
Don Bluth film.
Sure.
Well, isn't Dom DeLuise the crow guy?
I think so.
Yeah, I remember Secret of Nim, but I don't remember. Like, this is like Lord of the Rings meets mice. Like, they have weapons that have names and stuff.
So is it boring?
Nah, it's all right. That's all I want to talk about.
You guys are really excited about that new Hobbit movie, right?
I'm not. I'm averagely
really?
Excited about
I'm
it.
I don't really care anymore.
It seems cool.
Too much Omar, hype. You and I are becoming pretty good friends now. I gotta say. I wasn't so sure about you at first, but you know what?
All those trailers, too, with them start singing that song, everything seems so cheesy to me now. Like,
if I had work, I would sing that song on my way to work. It's awesome. I like it a lot.
What?
The song that the guy sings. And the trees burn like torches, something like that.
But and aren't you like put off by how much you can tell that they're wearing makeup? Like I feel like that is the problem we're running into now with Touché. High definition stuff.
It's only the really big fat guy that's kind of weird.
It's like they all like you can tell, oh, that's like a totally fake nose. Like there's no it's not believable anymore because you can see too much detail in all this stuff.
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about too, because I wonder what kind of they're clearly going to use the most modern CG practices, but that stuff was kind of it when they first started and it was like so cool. But, you know, I wonder how well it holds up if you go back and watch those armies fighting and stuff.
To me, it's not even about the makeup or the CG.
It's just the lore you don't like?
It's just boring. And listen, I read the books when I was a kid. I read the Hobbit books. I read the Lord of the Rings. I read them. They were fun books when I was a kid. But, man, those Lord of the Rings movies, I know everybody was super stoked on them. I found them incredibly boring and dull.
Wait, you didn't want to watch 20 hours of continuous movie?
The whole thing. I just found when we first I watched the first one with Evan. We went to the movies and we saw it. And then we saw the second one, which I was really bored. But I went with you guys because I was going through this phase where I was newly single and I should have been hanging out with my friends. Jeez. And I was like, hey, what are we going to do, guys? I'm like, we're going to see Lord of the Rings. I was like, damn it. All right, I just need to get out of the house. And then I remember one time we were going to go see the third one. But then we watched 8 Mile instead here at your house.
Was that the better movie, 8
yeah,
Mile?
If I was to say 8 Mile was better than Lord of the Rings, I might get death threats. So I'm not going to say anything except for I found Lord of the Rings is boring. But I really liked the books when I was a kid. I thought it was cool.
That's interesting. I don't know. That's weird to hear you say considering that's the source.
I think the Dark Knight trilogy is a better trilogy. How about that?
Lord that's the source? Why does everyone say that? Why is that is that the roadmap of all fantasy? That is not true.
But it is the most like publicly acknowledged thing. Like the most thing that people like say, oh, Lord of the Rings... I know like where that stuff comes from. If you were to mention the stuff that actually came first, nobody would know what you're talking about.
Yeah, but it's not the source. That guy was not like, I mean, he wrote really in-depth stories, but he just copied a lot of stuff that was already happening.
Enlighten us on the podcast.
Well, that's the thing. Like, right now, off the top of my head, I could not pull out a bunch of stories that come out, but I know that like him and what's-his-face, the Alice in Wonderland guy, were together, like, hanging out, doing LSD.
Yeah, Lewis Carroll.
Yeah, doing LSD, and then he's like, oh, I'm going to make up this language, and everyone thinks he's a genius for making up a bunch of stupid sounds that go together. Like, come on.
It sounds pretty cool.
Like, I could write down a bunch of oohs and ahs and tell you, oh, that I just developed a whole nother, orc
language.
He made
up, like, 3 languages or something, 4 languages. With different dialects.
With different dialects.
Yeah, I don't know, man. For me, that's where I... That's like as close to the roots as I can go. Like that's the depth of my knowledge. Like the early stuff that I know. Like that's the first I ever heard of dwarves and elves and orcs and stuff. And that's like that kind of literature is what formed my idea of what those things are. And that's what I see a lot of other people using. You know, they kind of have the same premise. Is there other source material that has the same thing where dwarves live in mountains, elves live in forests? There's dark elves, there's light elves, there's humans that are like the new race. Like, are those formalities true everywhere else? Like in this, like earlier source material? That's what I'm talking about. Like the formula for for like these different races and like their different languages and their kind of like personalities, you know, that each race has. Like halflings and stuff are, you know, timid and like curious, but whatever. And dwarves are like tough and small, and like elves are old and wise. Like all these kind of tropes are kind of wrapped in, and where I learned that was Lord of the Rings.
Huh. Mm. Well, I still find it all boring as hell.
Word.
Anyways.
I can respect your
And the thing is, I understand why people like Lord of the Rings, and that's cool. You can like it all you want. Like if I'm gonna
you say it so demeaningly.
If I'm gonna sit there and watch a trilogy, most likely I'm gonna watch the Back to the Future trilogy, which rules all trilogies of all time.
You can like your Lunchables all you want, but I got this school bought pizza here. It says otherwise. Nothing. Nobody ate those at lunch.
Those school bought pizzas were terrible.
Yeah, it's true.
I always didn't buy lunch on the, I remember on Monday. No.
When they ran out of pizza one day, I started a riot saying, no pizza, no peace. Literally, I was screaming at the top of my lungs. What do you mean we're out of pizza? Yeah.
Those every Monday for us was pizza day.
Yeah,
Mondays. And every Monday I would not order lunch, and one of the yard duty ladies would make me a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
That's nice of her.
Yeah, because those pizzas were gross.
Pizza was amazing. Anyways, you think we're wrong about Lord of the Rings? Me and Omar think it's boring and contrived. We're not into it. Evan loves it.
I like it.
He loves it.
I like it.
Hey, let us know by telling us. You can hit us up on any one of our emails, ryan@indestructibleart.com, evan@indestructibleart.com, omar@indestructibleart.com. Or hey, send a question on our Facebook. We like answering questions, especially from our friends, our fans. I don't even want to say fans because I consider all of our fans our friends. How about that? We like you guys.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I know Spencer has said some pretty mean things about you guys in the past. Well, maybe not on the show. Well, to me, he kind of said some stuff, but I totally think he's wrong. I think you're all rad. But no, let us know. Send us some questions. We love this kind of feedback. If you have a question regarding something along the lines of video games, I'll probably do a better job answering it than Evan Omar, so you can send me that email. That's cool. I can handle all your comic book questions as well. Or if you just wanted to know like some like rad vegan cupcake recipes. I've been doing a lot of vegan baking lately.
Yeah, you said you're going to bring a different set of cupcakes every week, and that happened one time, and you haven't since.
The thing is, I still do. I just don't bring them to you guys.
Breaking Omar's heart,
stomach. I'll tell you this. I will bring cupcakes next week because I got a new recipe I wanted to try out. And I'm not necessarily eating the cupcakes right now because I'm doing this crazy workout routine right now. I'm trying to get all buff.
P90X.
After I saw that Bane, I was like, yeah, I want to get all big and become Bane for Halloween.
Malibu Beach. What are some diets? What do they do?
Well, I'm not really on a diet. I'm just exercising a lot.
What are the workout plans?
I'm vegan. I really don't need to go
Insanity.
I'm vegan. I don't need to go like diet, so...
Yeah, I don't know about that. There's a lot of grossly fat food that I can eat.
You got to eat a lot of vegetables.
I just eat too much all the time.
Like at Veggie Grill, I had that the club sandwich or something. It had like fried onion rings on it, a bunch of like juicy beef stuff.
All right, time out.
It was fattening.
Time out. Facebook.com/indestructible. Find us on Twitter @pixelsthepanels. Find us on iTunes. Rate us. Subscribe to our podcast. We would appreciate that. And have a good day.
Hey, so that's not... You're not closing the show yet. I'm not done talking. So, listen. We're going to be coming up on almost a year of doing this show. And I've been very fortunate to be doing this with my friends. And I'm very, very happy. But we have a goal. By the time we get to our 50th episode, we want to have as many likes and ratings on iTunes as much as possible. So do us a favor. If you know someone that likes video games or comic books or really like Dark Knight or Avengers, tell them to listen to the show. They want to know more about their favorite comic book stuff.
I'm kind of glad that goal is pretty ambiguous.
Spread the message. Just tell your friends. We want to get we got big plans for this little show of ours, and we need your help. Right? We've been giving you so much like excitement and love and all these awesome stories for almost a year now. Now it's time for you to, you know.
What are we, still like 3 months off? October.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying is, you know, it's time for you, the listener, to start doing something for us. Every week we do this show for you. Now all we're asking you is to do is, hey, go tell your brother. Go tell your cousin. Tell your mom. Your mom would probably be a big fan of the show.
Getting a little needy over there.
Yeah. You know, the thing is, I just want to see the little show grow. That's all. And if you decide not to tell anyone, that's cool too. You can just listen. We like you, the listener. You're cool. Anyways, this is Ryan on behalf of Evan and Omar. And Spencer, who is, what's he doing again?
He's poke training.
Poke training. This is Indestructible Art. We will see you next week with more news and
you don't think he's like
witty banner,
a Chauncey kind of a guy,
like gossip,
Chauncey.
Maybe like Wobbuffet,
high fives, big ups,
Bulbasaur.
Anyways, we'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening.
Goodbye.
What would you put on your warhorse?
What would I put on my warhorse?
I would give him like a chainsaw on one side.
No, chainsaw, you want distance weapons. You want things that horses can do like flanking maneuvers with.
So I'm going to get one of those really long poles they use to clean a pool and put a chainsaw on the end of that and attach it on one side of my horse.
Mine would probably have like a panini grill on it.
As armor.
So you can make sandwiches.
So you make sandwiches. You could be the horse that no one wants to kill. Because you're like, you don't want to kill the horse that makes us food. Come on. He's cool.
It's like a Geneva Convention. You can't kill medic horses and you can't kill cook horses.
Yeah, that's I'm glad we're laying these ground rules down now.